and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
It's Monday. Let's try and do this thing, all right? How can we, how do you want to, turn my little board on, will you? Will you, Chris? Yeah, thank you. Is it on? All right, let's start right. Good morning. Good morning. Monday morning. Got a lot of stuff going on. We've got the presidential palm pile. We've got the liberal agenda, of course. We have Salon.com, Washington correspondent Mary Jacoby's going to be on. I think we're going to be talking about the pending Martha Stewart trial or attempt at a retrial or that she's being set up or something. We're talking about Martha Stewart because that's important. As important as Jeffrey Dahmer's parents on Larry King last night. Thank God the silence has been broken. You know what I mean? Were you just sitting around wondering, when were Jeffrey Dahmer's parents going to come out and say, hey, our son was a person, and we're here to help other parents that just might have a potential cannibalistic, latent homosexual freak in their house? We just want to reach out to those people. Here are the warning signs that your child might be a cannibalistic, latent homosexual, racist weirdo. So look out for these things. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Sorry, man. I'm not even worked up. I'm trying to start off easy. Trying to start off slow.
Easy, relax.
I got kind of mad at my friend Sam the other night. You know, it's like when you do this job. We talk about a lot of stuff all the time. You talk about stuff with a certain momentum. You talk about stuff with a certain point of view, with a certain aggression, with a certain passion. And I forget sometimes that at one time I was just a cynical, liberal, broad-stroke person that did not look at details, that did not, you know, assess, you know, many different elements. Arguments, you know.
And there are people who know you from that time who expect you to be that way.
Well, you know, I was called by my friend Sam, and I'm not going to mention last names if he's listening, which he probably is. See, he's been taken by the affliction, so he's probably up. Do you know what the affliction is?
No, tell me.
Parenting.
He now has a
baby that's about a week and a half old.
Oh, then he's definitely up.
So I've lost a friend, is what I'm saying. And, you know, now that, you know, whenever he can squeeze me in is going to have to be the time. But I am proud to say that I went over to his house to see the beautiful baby. Beautiful baby.
Mm-hmm.
Great baby. His wife's doing great. He's doing great. And this kid's a week old. And him and I, Sam and I, not me and the kid, Sam and I got into this passionate argument. And, you know, within minutes, the kid was at hiccups. Like this poor little 1 week old baby, me and Sam were yelling at each other
mm-hmm.
about whether or not a sanctioning is the same as bombing, which it isn't. It's not. You know,
no, you're right.
And I'm like, you know, I'm all worked up, and the kid starts getting the hiccups, you know, and I feel bad that, you know, I aggravated this kid. Because the kid's that age, a week old, basically he just thinks it's all him. You know, anything that's moving, the whole world, he's just learning how to grow. You can see his brain growing.
Well, that's what kids do, and the kid is probably thinking, you know, bombing involves explosives.
Well, here's the thing, is I get this argument that, you know, I was talking about Nader, and I was saying, look, Nader should, you know, he should drop out. You shouldn't vote for Nader. And my friend Sam was like, no, Nader shouldn't drop out. He represents something important. He should be allowed to stay in. I'm like, fine, but this isn't his year. You can't vote for Nader. This is not his year. We have bigger concerns. We got to get Kerry in there. We got to get Bush out. And he goes, yeah, but once Kerry's in, we got to hold him to task. I'm like, dude, didn't you just jump a big step there? I mean, you know, how about trying to get Kerry in? You know, let's get Kerry in, and then we'll take him to task, you know? He says, yeah, but it's not going to facilitate any change if we just get Kerry in. I'm like, yes, it is. I mean, if we just get Bush out, that's a tremendous, tremendous change. And then we started talking about, you know, that the bipartisan guilt of what went on in Iraq, and he was somehow trying to, you know, make it, you know, a statement that sanctioning is the same as bombing. And it stuck in my craw because I can't see it, because sanctioning, there are still choices that the person who owns and operates the country that's being sanctioned can make in order to take care of their people.
Well, remember, we had sanctions against Iraq from the end of the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, right through to the beginning of the second Gulf War.
Right.
There were sanctions on Iraq.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And a lot of people died, you know, because of the sanctions, because of their inability to get, you know, medicine. But I don't think we were sanctioning medicine at that time. And I think that they couldn't they have done business with us? My whole point was, is that there's no middleman when you bomb. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
when
no.
you sanction, you know, it's still there's still somebody in charge of the country who's making decisions for his people, and he can make decisions to get what he needs elsewhere.
Well, yeah, and essentially that's what Saddam had to do. Saddam, for example, did business with the French, did business with the Germans. And it wasn't just for armaments. It was for a lot of the everyday things that the United States sanctions and the no-fly zones prohibited from coming into the country. But see, the central point that you're talking about here, Mark,
yeah.
is one that we're going to have to, I think, construct over time for ourselves and for our listeners. And that is what an extraordinary historical mistake it was to go into Iraq unilaterally in the first place. We're seeing the piece that you emailed me about over the weekend, the Cy Hirsch piece, which was in the New Yorker a couple of weeks back.
That blew my mind, man.
Called Plan B.
Yeah.
And it talked about the fact that the Israelis warned the Americans before, in the run-up to the war, that, look, if you don't do the occupation well, you're going to be in the occupation. The occupation is going to turn into the quagmire that it has turned into. Now, the Israelis' response to this is actually to go out and help arm and train Kurdish militias.
That's because the Israelis, this is the scary thing, is that a lot of this, you know, was done, you know, in relation to Israel, that there is factions
yes.
within the administration that is doing this to make the Middle East more stable, you know, along with Israel, right?
Yeah.
So now the Israeli intelligence is saying it ain't working out. Yeah, things are falling apart. They don't have control. The Americans are losing this.
Yeah.
And now we've got to align ourselves with the Kurds. We've got to start training them because, you know, there's a chance that the Iranians are aligning with the Iraqi insurgency, and then we're really in trouble.
Yeah. And, of course, the Kurds live not only in Iraq. They also live in Iran and also comprise two, and I didn't know this till I read the piece, 2 million of Syria's 17 million inhabitants are Kurds.
So now Israel has a voice, at least through intelligence channels,
that's
within
right.
Syria, within Iran, and within Iraq.
Yes, and that is a best-case scenario for them. Now, the problem that the United States has, of course, is, A, the Israelis may not share all the intelligence they get. B, America's trying to cultivate a relationship with the Turks, who, at the very mention of an independent and free Kurdistan, go crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts.
They don't want to hear about it. They've had historic problems with the Kurds, and they don't want it. They have a very big problem with any situation under which Kurdistan is anything but a province of
mm-hmm.
Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So you put all this stuff together, and you start realizing that the Bush administration took nothing, and I mean absolutely none of this, into consideration when they went into Iraq. They had the can, you know, flowers in the street scenario, and suddenly you've got all of these different competing interests working with each other and then working against each other and then working against the Americans, and you've developed the situation that absolutely would not have taken place were it not for George Bush's decision to invade this country.
So you're saying that the unilateral decision to go into Iraq has completely destabilized the region.
The region. The entire region. Not just Iraq, Iran, potentially Syria,
yeah.
potentially Turkey. All of these different countries now are, and see, the interesting thing is that half of them still blame the Israelis for all of it.
And when Israel says it's out of control, it's out of control.
It's out of control. But see, the Israelis are going to do what they feel they need to do to survive. And for
them,
making alliances with non-Arabs in a predominantly Arab region, people who are willing to sit down and discuss with them and willing to sit down and make these alliances with, this is important to them. Now, they have been burned by this in the past, and I'll tell you when. When they made alliances with the apartheid government of South Africa in the late 1970s. That was a huge mistake on the part of the Israelis, but they did it largely because the South Africans were also isolated.
Right.
They were isolated in Africa. There were sanctions and boycotts against South Africa. So the South Africans were willing to make common cause with anyone who would make common cause with them. So that ended up being the Israelis. This situation with the Kurds is a different story. It's a different kind of situation because, again, we tend to look at the Kurds as being only inside of Iraq. And the Cy Hirsch piece
revealed I didn't know that.
I didn't know that they were in Iran and in Syria and all these other places.
Yeah, and I know a lot less than you.
And it's
so if you didn't know it, I'm sort of happy about that. Hey, Sam, if you're out there listening and you got a problem with what I'm saying, 866-303-2270 if you want to take it up and let's rehash it out here on the air. All right, we'll be back in a second on Air America with Mary Jacoby in a little while.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Students and graduates, listen up. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. That's right, more than half with the federal government's free student loan consolidation program available from NextStudent. Every day, thousands take advantage of this money-saving program, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments by more than half. Call 1-800-430-NEXT, and NextStudent will help you refinance your college loans and lock in on historically low federal interest rates. Right now, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. Take advantage of this free program. It's easy to apply. There's no credit check, no out-of-pocket expenses, and in as little as 5 minutes, you can find out if you're eligible for this money-saving program. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. Take advantage of this program, and you'll have loads of extra cash in your pocket. Call 1-800-430-NEXT. It's easy, it's quick, and it's free. But you gotta act now. Call NextStudent today at 1-800-430-NEXT. That's 1-800-430-NEXT.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Past the hour, it's Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron. I got Mark Riley here.
Hey, good morning.
We're not going to be talking about Martha stories. I don't know where that came from. I was looking at some weird old booking form for somebody who wasn't even on the show. Of course, Mary Jacoby is going to be talking about the CIA intelligence report and these wussy Democrats. Democratic wusses. I'd never seen anything like it. I saw Jay Rockefeller and that guy, Senator Roberts, on Meet the Press. And I've just never seen, you know, bipartisan avoiding the pointism.
There's a lot of that going around.
It's unbelievable. Let's not stray too far because we were in Iraq. We were talking about the chaos, and it's as if it weren't bad enough. Zarqawi is walking around the streets going, uranium, you got any? Looking for uranium. Got some? Buddy, what do you got?
What do you got?
I got tango and cash. I don't even know dope.
Yellow cake.
I got brown dope. No, yellow cake is what I need. I'm looking for yellow cake.
You know, I think there was a dope once called yellow cake. I mean, look, not that I know anything about these things from personal experience.
Not from back in the day do we know about that stuff.
No. But, you know, Iraq's National Security Advisor says that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is trying to get these materials to produce, quote, unconventional weapons.
Yes.
Now, they say that this material may have been smuggled out of Iraq during the course of the war. Now, if you take what we just talked about,
right,
we take arming the Kurds,
yeah,
okay, you take the Shia, who are in the middle of the country, and who also, by the way, go back and forth with relative freedom between Iran and Iraq. Remember, there's a huge Shia population in Iran.
Right.
And, you know, they give sustenance and aid, et cetera, to the Iraqi Shia.
They're speculating that some of these Iranians are training some of the Iraqi insurgents.
So you got the Israelis training the Kurds. The Iranians train in the Shiite Iraqis.
Oh, you know what's going to happen. We're going to pull out and go, okay, you guys, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go at it.
Go ahead. We still got our $25 million bounty on Zarqawi in case we ever somebody catches him.
It's amazing. I'm reading this piece, you know, about Zarqawi. The United States and Britain have failed to uncover any stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction. We know that, even though the possession of such weapons was one of the reasons. Okay, we know that. And there are indications that some unconventional materials had crossed borders into neighboring states, which is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, theoretically, you know, it's a possibility.
He may already have these weapons. There's no, quote, intelligence, unquote, that can determine whether or not Zarqawi, who, by the way, if he had them, might well use them, given that he'll behead people on at the drop of a hat on a video.
Yeah.
This is a guy who really doesn't have any scruples about murder or about killing.
So we're assuming dirty bombs, though. I mean, you can't just strap a few coffee cans together and make a nuclear weapon.
No. But now, see, now let's cross the border over into Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man, it's trouble.
Yeah.
If you know who else is crossing the border? Every insurgent.
Every insurgent you can think of. They're coming out of Iraq. You know, the whole thing about foreign fighters. Yeah, there were foreign fighters in Iraq, but apparently, just like American troops, they have an ability to rotate out of the theater.
Yeah, it's not as organized.
Yeah, but they go.
Ahmed, are you going? Yeah, you're going. Yeah, tell yourself. Okay, we'll go.
Yeah. They represent, these fighters, a clear and present threat to the House of Saud. Now, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It depends on what you think of the House of
Saud. You know what's scary to me is that these guys are thinking, you know, if these guys are moving into Saudi Arabia, that means they're telling people who are in Iraq who are within the insurgency going, they're actually able to say, so you guys are covered here, we're going to go there.
Yeah, we're going to go there.
That's scary.
And start some of the same mess that you guys are doing over here.
Yeah, to think that, you know, okay, you guys are set, you got enough manpower for Iraq, we're going to Saudi Arabia. To think that the insurgency is that buttressed in that you know, strong that guys can leave and go on. That's scary stuff, man.
It's scary stuff. But, you know, Mark, the other part of this is, and there was an article in yesterday's Times, I think, about this. The only hope America has is that these different groups of people, the foreign fighters, the nationalists, the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Kurds, that they're all, you know, not unified amongst themselves. In other words, you have some of the fundamentalist insurgents, who are looking or have a vision of a particular type of Iraq, Iraq as an Islamist state. Then there are other ones, there are nationalists who, you know, whose whole idea is, let's get, you know, Iraq for Iraq's sake. We want, you know, the nation. There are Baathists who are loyal to Saddam. There are Sunnis who practice their type. So there are all these different things. And the only thing that they can come up with that is in any way favorable to the U.S. is the possibility that they won't all get along.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I just, you know, what amazes me is that a lot of these guys are second generation or third generation fighters from Afghanistan, and from, like, now they're like, this is the legacy of the original Al-Qaeda. There's now a generational difference between the generation of Osama and this generation. I'm sure because they can start at any age, it's going to be a third generation. Now, so the myth continues, and as each generation gets further away, they mythologize the Al-Qaeda purpose even more.
And they're in Saudi Arabia for a specific purpose, Mark. They want to drive out, quote, the infidels, unquote.
But this is the original problem, wasn't it? This is the reason that Osama bin Laden said that he was going to send, you know, 18 Saudis out of 19 hijackers, something like that? 15 Saudis.
15.
To fly into the World Trade Center to protest the American occupation of this sacred land of Saudi Arabia. And this is where it all started.
Yeah.
So they're coming full circle, and now they've got a jihadist front from what you're saying to me, possibly definitely from Iraq to Saudi Arabia, within Iran a bit, that could, you know, it's brain-banging. This is what the unilateral decision on behalf of the Bush administration has yielded.
Yeah, it has, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon. You know, the Saudi royal family is in a really rock and a hard place kind of situation here. Because on the one hand, they have been criticized for looking the other way as people inside Saudi Arabia have funded a lot of this fundamental Islam that we see going on, for example, in the Sudan and in some of these other places.
I don't know. See, they funded to protect themselves. Is that some weird kind of...
They funded because they walk a line. They walk a line between the West and fundamental Islam.
But it's sort of hypocritical. You have this ruling family that is not secular, but they're not genuine Wahhabists, right?
No, they're not genuine Wahhabists.
Right. So what they do is they fund extreme Muslim groups in order to protect themselves from being overrun by extreme Muslim groups.
Yes. Now, they don't do this directly, by the way. You know, it's not like, Prince Bandar, your man, jumps out.
Bandar is here with his magic billions.
Yes. Well, yeah, they don't exactly do it that way. But they do fund a lot. They fund the madrasas, these schools, Islamist religious schools where kids go in. And they come out, on the one hand, hating Israel. On the other hand, looking at the West as being totally corrupt and unworthy of anything but, you know, their contempt, their scorn, and in extreme cases, they're fighting.
Right.
That's what they're looking at.
So, see, I think you just presented an interesting issue. I think what we need now is to somehow rally the Saudi Arabians to maybe start Montessori schools on the Saudi Peninsula. I mean, you know, there's finger painting. There's, no classroom doors. This stuff works here.
Yeah. Well, you know, now Al-Qaeda. It's
hilarious, man. It's like, and here we are talking about the big global events. I shoot off some, non-specific comment about Dahmer's parents being on Larry King, as sort of a joke, but, they were on, and maybe I was being a little insensitive, but of course, here we are talking about the future of the world, and we get a caller who hung up that took issue with what I said about Dahmer's
parents. About Dahmer's parents.
And then they hung up.
Well, maybe they hung up because they realized that there are other things in the world going on that they ought to be a little bit concerned about.
Well, that was my point.
Maybe they got somebody working on Wall Street because, you know, that's Al-Qaeda's, one of Al-Qaeda's targets now.
Just another reason why the moneyed folk should not vote for George Bush. Look what he's doing. He's drawing Al-Qaeda into your temple.
And there's really, the amazing thing, Mark, is that it doesn't seem as though most people believe that this government, if it could, let me not go that far.
Go ahead,
that the government cannot stop these people. That if somebody wanted to, a suicide bomber wanted to blow himself up at the corner of Wall and Broad, they do it.
I think when Tom Ridge comes on TV and says that it's going to get bad and refuses to raise a terror alert, that means that the Republicans are working with the terrorists to disrupt and alter the democratic process.
Uh-huh. Now, see, there are people, and there are more and more people who are starting to believe that, too. Coming up, Mary Jacoby with the Salon.com story of the day, plus the presidential palm pilot and the liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients to determine your best match. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer, sitting in for Wayne Gilman. France and Iraq have restored diplomatic relations that were severed 13 years ago during the Gulf War. That from the French Foreign Ministry Monday. The interim president of Iraq tells a British newspaper he's going to offer amnesty to some Iraqis who have been fighting against the U.S.-led occupation. The amnesty will be extended only to people who have not committed too many atrocious acts, as he put it. An anti-war group is filing suit against Clear Channel Communications, the radio and billboard giant. Project Billboard claims that when its anti-war artwork was submitted, the company reneged on its agreement to lease a billboard in Times Square during the Republican National Convention. A report in today's Washington Post says evidence has surfaced that House Majority Leader Tom DeLay may have violated Texas law by soliciting political contributions from Enron and other companies for use in a redistricting effort. And at the box office this weekend, Spider-Man 2 was number one again in its third week. Michael Moore's film remains hot at number four. Air America Radio News.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. All you gonna pay for that? And then you relax because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plan. And then the nurse says, okay, finished. And you say, no, 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 we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
The Majority Report.
San Cito has been asleep on the couch because he's sick as a dog. Because what does he do? He marches down to Chinatown last night at the crack of 4 a.m. and eats some duck.
You know, when you get the duck on the street.
Off the street, no less.
It's much cheaper.
On a stick.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
On a stick. I can't encourage it for other people.
Whatever possessed you, Sam?
I got duck on the stick on the street. I just love the duck.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Unbelievable. 33 past the hour. Unbelievable.
Believe it.
She's got the woman, to my discredit, the woman who had the phone call about me addressing Jeffrey Dahmer's parents is going to, I'm going to talk to her in 1 second.
Jenny is her name.
Yeah, she felt mischaracterized, and I didn't talk to her, and she has something to say, and we're going to talk to her, and then we're going to take our guest. But right now, it's time. Johnny, Billy. Billy got me the presidential palm pile today. Ramon's out. Here's the president's schedule for today, Monday, 8:30 a.m. Wake up, stay on message. Gay marriage will unravel the fabric of Western civilization. Repeat as necessary. 10 a.m., fly to Tennessee. Note, work with dialect coach. Must out Southern Edwards. 11 a.m., arrive Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Listen patiently while local boys sing Elvira. There you go. 11:10 a.m., make remarks at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. See if you can avoid the word nuclear, nuclear, nuclear. Damn, who scheduled this? 11:25 a.m., tour Oak Ridge facility. When the snotty eggheads start talking about science, fix smile and go to happy place. 12:30 p.m., fly back to Washington for in-flight movie, try to get director's cut of Dodgeball. Ha ha, the dorks get it in the nuts. 2:45 p.m., meet with the president of El Salvador. Find out what they make and promise to buy more of it. 9 p.m., bedtime. Think a happy thought. New York Post headline. Kerry and Chapada quit a DUI debacle. Okay. Okay, let's Jenny, hi. I'm sorry if I mischaracterize you. What's on your mind?
No, so when I called originally, okay. It wasn't to be like, let's make a huge deal out of this. It was just, I wanted to make a note so that you're just aware of it for in the future.
Yeah.
But when you, how you characterize, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, throwing in that he was homosexual and a cannibalist and a racist, it seemed like, why is he throwing in homosexual with these negative, with the other things that are considered very negative? And
because
you know,
he was
a
homosexual, a racist, and a cannibal.
Okay, but if it was a man who had but if he was a man who killed a bunch of like little girls, would you bother to say heterosexual, cannibalist, racist?
Well, I'd probably say he was. If there were sexual elements to the murder, I probably would have thrown it in. Sure. I mean, it's
well,
just, you know, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, and there's a lot of groups that could be, I understand, you're being sensitive to, you know, mischaracterizing homosexuality and you know, and also there's the, you know, I don't want to offend the cannibals, you know, I mean.
See, now you've gone too far, man.
No, I understand what you're saying, and it's a point well taken, I appreciate your call.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
all right, Jenny.
Of course, like if a guy was killing little girls and he was raping them as well, you would say he was a pedophile. It was a sexual crime. I mean, the truth of the matter is Dahmer invited these guys in on a cruise and was, you know, being sexual with them alive and dead. It was a part of, you know, his character.
Particular pathology.
All right, now let's shift gears. Let's talk about crimes of another type that are going on in Washington. Our guest is Mary Jacoby. She is Salon's Washington bureau chief, is she? Correspondent in Washington. How are you, Mary?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So the Democrats are wussing out, right?
Well, I mean, they did already.
I mean, but February. They still do it. I mean, I saw them, like I saw Rockefeller on TV last night, and they're going to let this administration blame the CIA for all these shortcomings.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're making the point in press conferences and on news interviews that the administration had a major role in shaping the environment in which this intelligence was produced, basically saying, this is where we want to go, so tell us how to get there. And, but, you know, it's too late. I mean, the problem is that it needed to be in the official report that was voted out of this committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, because that has the official imprimatur of Congress. And, you know, whatever else they say, it can always be rebutted. You know, whatever else Rockefeller and those guys say can be rebutted now by people, you know, the Republican side pointing to this report and saying, well, look, a bipartisan committee of Congress concluded there was no pressure.
Well, give some examples of what they should have insisted be part of the investigation.
I mean, they should have insisted, and they felt like they didn't have the leverage to do this, but that's really debatable. What should have been part of this investigation was the role that the administration played in putting more subtle forms of pressure on the intelligence community to tailor its judgments to make the case for war.
Okay. All right. So does Tenet deserve some blame? I mean, does
he deserve... Oh, yes, completely.
Okay.
Mary Jacoby, I'm curious. I mean, we're talking here about the United States Senate. We're talking about a body that functions largely, it seems, based on this whole collegial, distinguished gentleman kind of modality. Is it reasonable to expect them to directly criticize the White House in this kind of report?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
if you say so.
I mean, it's just that the Congress is controlled by the Republicans, and there is sort of a unique structure on the Intelligence Committee where the Republican chairman or whoever's chairman has a little bit more power than normal. But the stakes are so high in this that you would expect that partisanship would be put aside, and you would expect it in a perfect world. Obviously, that's not what happened.
But wouldn't they, Mary, wouldn't the Republicans have then in the White House have said, if they had directly criticized Bush, wouldn't they have jumped up and tried to negate the entire report saying it was partisan?
But they couldn't do that if it came out with Republicans on board as well.
The Republicans aren't going to criticize Bush in an election year.
Well, you know, it can be done. No, Republicans in Congress, I mean, this is the problem. This is the structural problem. But we have the bipartisan 9/11 commission that has had some rather harsh judgments.
Yeah,
from a Republican.
Yeah, they dismissed them too. I mean, Cheney tried to make them look stupid.
Yeah, but and they put out a very harsh, you know, one sentence statement saying, you know, basically, Cheney, you're wrong. And that was put out in the name of the Republican and the Democratic co-chairman. So,
yeah, but they're unelected, Mary.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you are exactly right. You need to remove this from politics to get an accurate or a non-skewed sort of judgment. And this Senate intelligence report is too mired in politics to be the definitive word.
Oh, my God, I couldn't even believe it. Roberts and Rockefeller were both sitting there avoiding, you know, answering questions in some sort of strange, you know, it's almost a pathological thing that politicians do.
Well, yeah, it's really annoying. I mean, you get used to it when you're in my position, but...
But how come, my question is, I mean, you know, with the Richard Clark book and Woodward's book, where it was clearly, you know, by a lot of accounts, the intelligence community was bullied to give the answers that the administration needed to pull off this unilateral attack. And how do we tag that on the president now?
Well, I mean, where does the buck stop?
Yeah, exactly. Where does
who's
it stop?
Say, I mean, Ken Lay is now. Ken Lay says, "Oh, I was innocent. You know, I didn't know. That I, you know, I was actually trying to keep my Enron stock, and here's why I was just dumb, not criminal." And he's still being led away in handcuffs. I mean, the buck has got to stop with somebody. When you take the responsibility, you've got to also accept the obligation to take responsibility when things go wrong.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. I think, and that's like that's. I think that is what this president is basing this administration on: some sort of corporate structure where everybody takes a fall before the actual guy who's supposed to be in charge of things, which is just wrong. It shouldn't be that way, right?
Well, I you know, George Bush had the obligation to say, you know, like Colin Powell did before he went to the UN. He said, "This is flimsy. I'm not going to take this. Come back with some better information." And you know, of course, Colin Powell still ended up giving erroneous information to the United Nations, but, you know, at least he questioned.
Right.
And we don't even know whether Bush questioned what he even looked at. I mean, for example, there was this national intelligence estimate that had 5 pages of key judgments, according to the committee staff. I mean, it was whittled down to 1 page that was given to George Bush. You know, is that enough to make a decision to put thousands and thousands of people's lives at stake and the world's stability at stake on something like this?
Right. Well, they like to keep him, you know, as out of the loop as possible. He's just the president. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mary Jacoby. Really appreciate you talking to us.
All right. Thank you.
You take care. That's Salon's Washington correspondent, Mary Jacoby. We'll be right back with your email, The Liberal Agenda. And, we're not going to take any calls right yet. All right. See you in a minute.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
There was a little boy named Bobby. He didn't like reading much science or history. The teachers all thought that Bobby was lazy. But Bobby was as smart as any kid could be. He tried his best to climb the learning tree. But to Bobby, it was not easy as 1, 2, 3. He learned the same things the other kids would see. The only problem was he learned them differently. One day, Bobby's mom called toll-free to find out more about learning disability. They got Bobby help, and as sure can be, the song was now sung to a different melody.
There was a little boy named Bobby. A quiet little boy went to school in elementary. Bobby loved reading math, science, and history. Soon as he learned to learn them differently.
For a free brochure, call 1-888-478-6463 or log on to focusonlearning.org to learn how your kids learn. A message from the Ad Council and the CCLD.
Yeah, okay. It's 45 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. I'm with Mark Riley.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy? We're listening to you're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. You know, you get emails. You can't please everybody all the time. I'll tell you, you know. I'll tell you, you can't please everybody all the time. I get no respect, no respect at all.
Uh-oh.
To Mark, you're repeatedly making a huge strategy mistake and need to consider stopping it. You keep asserting your strong belief that Bush can't win in November, as if a Kerry victory is a done deal, and you recite one reason after another why you believe this is true. Jeez, I'm sorry. Man, what kind of ass am I, you know, having some optimism and faith that, you know, we can beat Bush? You know, you're right. Completely off. I don't know.
Flip the whole thing, man. Be pessimistic.
Hey, you guys, there's no way Kerry's going to win. We're screwed. You know what I mean? That's my new strategy. Dude, if I took that strategy, I can't even tell you the feedback I would get. Hey, you know what? There's no point in even voting. Does that make you angry enough to go out and vote? Listen to what the guy goes on to say. If you succeed in convincing your listeners that Bush will definitely lose and that Kerry will definitely win, many of them may well become complacent. What country are you living in? Many people would become complacent. Yeah, they're going to listen to me like, hey, that guy on the radio says it's a done deal. I think I'm just going to hang out and smoke a bong instead of vote. Oh, my God.
Well, there might be five people in America that think that way.
Yeah, I guess. If you remove your listener's sense of urgency, you might do more harm than just losing a few thousand votes when they don't. You're going to blame me? Do me a favor.
Your fault,
Barry. You write to Ralph Nader? You're right? All right? Do me a favor. Maybe this guy works for Nader. You know? But here you go.
Hey, but you know what, though? Yeah. Dick Cheney is in Washington right now saying, Mark Maron's going to win this election for us.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're like,
Mark Maron's going to win the
best thing we got, that kid in New York. You know, the angry Jew. You might remove their impetus to do everything now that you can benefit to support the Kerry campaign and spread the word with all their passion and vigor. I want to read this. You might remove their impetus to do everything they can do now to benefit and support the Kerry campaign and to spread the word with all their passion and vigor to convince other voters that Bush and his cronies are dangerous and must be stopped. Don't forget that Bush will stop at nothing to get reelected. Dirty tricks, voting machine hijinks, and all. Yeah, by the way, blackboxvoting.org if you want to get involved with, fighting the no paper trail voting machine.
By the way, did he say something about benefit? Didn't you just do a benefit Friday?
I did a benefit
Friday?
On Friday for Kerry, spreading the word.
Well, let's make sure that he knows that now.
Yeah, so I guess that'll make up for the 1,000 people that apparently I'm just letting off the hook. You know, so all you people out there were sitting there going, hey, Maron says it pushes out, so I'm cool, man. There's no reason to even talk about the election anymore.
Yeah, why bother? And listen.
I'm sorry. For you guys, get up. Do something.
Can I get something off my chest, too?
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw something on over the weekend that just really irritated me.
Yeah.
They had these two women, not that that makes that much of a difference, because I don't want to get into a whole homosexual cannibal thing about this. It was just two women who were on the Fox News channel, and they were talking about the whole gay marriage thing, yeah. Right? So this one woman, I guess she's a concern, they're both, quote, radio talk show hosts, so of course, my antenna goes up immediately, these are alleged colleagues, right?
Right, right.
So the conservative woman says, well, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people in the African-American community, and they tell me that they're going to vote for George W. Bush because he supports a ban on gay marriage. I almost fell out of the chair.
That's ridiculous.
And I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I'm just out of touch. I'm no longer in touch with my black roots because I have to come in here every morning and, you know, whatever.
I'm sorry, man. Am I doing that?
It's not all your fault. You know, it's Larson and Pashman. It's all yours. Anyway, but, you know, you get to a certain point and you say to yourself, what color is the sky in this woman's world?
Yeah.
She's saying, now, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is. I do know that there are more black people who oppose gay marriage than people like me who support it think there should be. Okay?
Yeah, but
let me go that far.
But tell me this. I mean, this is a president that just dissed the NAACP, that doesn't show up for their meetings, that does not represent black people, and black people don't believe in this president. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to change, you know, their point of view on him over this gay marriage thing?
That's what this woman said. And see, when it happens and it's not challenged by anybody, then the people who watch Fox News say, well, okay, hey. You know, black people, they're going to get on the bus with this.
So you're saying it's sort of like the same thing this guy's saying.
Yeah.
That if we say it, that black people are on board with Bush because he's against gay marriage, then that means a lot of black
people. That means a lot of people. Black people will just go.
Yeah. I hope they snap the other way. That's ridiculous. It can't be true.
Of course, it's ridiculous.
We'll
of course, it's ridiculous.
And thanks for listening to that guy, because he's a regular listener. He was just getting worked up. Ken, I appreciate your email. And we'll see you in a second, or talk to you in a second on Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, People judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Hey, what's going on? It's 54 after the hour. Welcome aboard WINZ, 9:40 a.m. in South Florida. Maybe my mommy can listen to me now.
Hey!
Because she certainly can't figure out how to stream. You know, if I ask my mother to do anything on the computer other than email me, she's like, I don't know. I have to call somebody. What do you do? Follow the instructions on the screen? I don't think my computer does it.
Now they can actually go to Mornings Edition. .com or airamericaradio.com.
I don't know. Would my computer get that? What is that, on the internet? Is it on the web? Do I have to web it?
You have to web it.
All right. We got Anthony in a truck listening to Sirius. How are you, Anthony?
Hey, Anthony. Hey,
pretty good.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
I tell you, the story you just went over a while ago, I mean, that is probably the most outrageous story I've heard in a long time, but it goes to show you with the corporate media and the way they have banded these stations and be able to buy all these stations together can put out there. Because for me, I could care less about the gay marriage issue. They pay taxes. They have rights. When you start denying a person their human rights, that scares me because we're only one step away from denying me my rights as a black person again.
Right.
I'm for doing the right thing. I'm a capitalist, don't get me wrong, but I'm a capitalist that believes that we should be able to provide this country with jobs, people that are just trying to work and do the right thing.
There you go, Anthony.
Thanks a lot for your call. See, that's an interesting thing, because there's been a lot of comparisons drawn between, you know, that people are trying to compare the civil rights movement with this with the gay rights movement.
A lot of people, a lot of black people deeply resent that.
Right.
But you heard what Anthony said.
How much
said.
Of that has to do with that, though? How much do you think that politically has to do with some of these black community saying, you know, using this as a wedge issue, saying we're going to vote for Bush because of this gay rights issue, detaching themselves from the comparison to the civil rights issue?
Well, see, it all kind of plays itself together. On the one hand, you have some, not all, some black clergy people who look at that faith-based initiative whole thing, all right,
saying,
including
oh,
the money.
Wow, you're always so good at following the money. So you're saying, like, there's something to be had here.
Yeah. Well, hey, you had a black guy who said, if the Klan was against gay marriages, I'd ride with the Klan. Now, what do you think he's after? What do you think he wants?
Some faith-based initiative money.
There you go. That's what he wants.
Follow the money.
Follow the money, and then you know where these folks are coming from and why someone who probably only talked to one black person then gets on television and says, well, I've talked to black people who say they're going to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all, you know, it's all about the money at a certain point. And I'm not trying to smear all black clergy people. Don't even call here with that, okay?
Yeah,
yeah. Because that's not.
The guy at your church is gay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not black.
Oh.
But that's okay.
But I'm assuming
he's on a sabbatical, as a matter of fact. He's going for his doctorate. Great guy.
But I'm assuming he's pro-gay marriage.
Yes, he's pro-gay marriage.
You would hope.
He's in a committed relationship, absolutely.
But Anthony's right. You know, once it starts denying people their rights on any level, we're amending the Constitution to deny people their rights. I mean, marriage should be able to evolve. This whole idea that it's like, you know, we got to stick by the old rules. I mean, time has shown that marriage is good. Really? Have you really looked at the stats lately? How good is marriage, really? I wanted to point out to you, there's a liberal
show.
WINZ in Florida, 940 a.m. You know what it was as of yesterday? Fox Sports.
Yeah.
As of today, Air America Radio.
Yo, yo.
There's a liberal agenda. Get your pens and pencils. This is hot off the press from the Streisand compound. One, suggest a new $10 bill with a picture of Ron Reagan Jr. Yeah. If your toast is the least bit too light or dark, blame Bush. Three, market novelty line of fake hair care products titled called Wolfowitz Fit. For those of you who saw Fahrenheit 9/11, if you haven't, there's one reason to go see it if you haven't, to know what Wolfowitz Fit means. Four, go see Fahrenheit 9/11 yet again. Must beat King Arthur. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, here's my problem. Spider-Man doesn't address the root causes of crime. Unquote. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Thank you for listening.
Yes, yes. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, plus what's going on at the CIA now that George Tenet is gone. Former case officer Larry Johnson makes it plain as we continue here on Air America Radio.
The Radio Shack Glossary of Electronics. Today's term, the parrot.
Hi, I'm Howie Long, and it's the guy at the big warehouse store who has no idea which accessory you're asking for. So he just repeats what you say.
Repeats what you say.
Kind of like that.
But at Radio Shack, we don't employ parrots. And our trained experts can give you easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
If I ever actually need a parrot, I'll go to a pet store.
For electronics experts and accessories, go to Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer, filling in for Wayne Gilman. Diplomatic relations between France and Iraq have been restored, according to the French Foreign Ministry. Their ties were severed 13 years ago during the Gulf War. France opposed the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq last year and has refused to send troops to resist the following insurgency. However, France has said it is willing to help train Iraqi security forces. There are more allegations coming that information leading to the war in Iraq was driven by politics and not by intelligence information. A scathing report is expected out of England this week. A British investigator will publish his findings Wednesday on the intelligence that was cited by Prime Minister Tony Blair as a justification. In 2002, Blair insisted that intelligence had established beyond doubt that Saddam Hussein continued to produce weapons of mass destruction. How's the media coverage of the presidential campaign coming? Not so well, according to the Project for Excellence in Journalism, which is affiliated with Columbia University. The director, Tom Rosenstiel, says a new study shows that neither President Bush nor Senator Kerry have gotten their campaign message under control, and their campaigns are getting lost amid news coverage dominated by the war in Iraq.
The campaign is not really being covered in a conventional way. It's being covered through the lens of the war in Iraq. News events are overwhelming, at least so far, conventional campaign coverage.
Rosenstiel says the study found that coverage of President Bush has been generally negative, but it hasn't eroded people's impression of him as a strong leader. A report in today's Washington Post says an email that surfaced in the Enron investigation appears to show that House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, back in 2001, hit up Enron and other companies for political action committee contributions with the understanding that it would be partly spent on a redistricting effort in Texas. Texas law bars corporate financing of state legislature campaigns, and a Texas criminal prosecutor has been looking at possible violations of at least three statutes. Elsewhere on the Corporate Crime Watch, the wife of Enron's former finance chief will report to federal prison today. Lee Fastow, who also worked for Enron, pleaded guilty to helping her husband hide the money from the financial scams that led to the company's crash. She'll spend a year in jail. A New Mexico man who claims to have helped find bodies under the World Trade Center rubble is being accused of making it up. The Albuquerque Journal says its investigation of Doug Kopp has shown that he's exaggerated his experience in rescue work and has little evidence of it. The newspaper says Kopp has received nearly $650,000 from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund and is trying to get at least $1 million more to deal with some of his medical problems. Kopp denies that. Spider-Man 2 remains the number one movie at the box office over the weekend. The comedy Anchorman was number two, King Arthur in third place. Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 in its third weekend remained at number four. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
More and more, people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T-cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website hivhcvtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694 and the website is hivhcvtrials.net.
Look, Vicki, skywriting.
Kohl's lowest prices of the summer are going on now. Shorts, tops, swimsuits.
Hey, we need all that stuff.
Ooh, now it says, Chad, Vicki, you won't find summer items priced lower this season.
Really? All that in skywriting, huh?
Kohl's lowest prices of the summer are going on now. You'll get our lowest prices of the summer on hundreds of items throughout the store. Plus, get a $10 reward for every $50 you spend on your Kohl's charge through Tuesday. See store for details. Kohl's lowest prices of the summer are going on now.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Randy Rhodes.
When Republicans talk about Hitler, it's like they know. There was something creepy about that ad. They took it down, though. That's the point. So we made ourselves known to them.
Air America's Randy Rhodes.
I just wanted to say, you know, Republicans, you don't have to be that desperate. There are a lot of difference between Hitler and Bush, and Democrats would be the first one to admit that. For instance, Hitler was elected.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Monday. How's everybody doing? I am Mark Maron. My buddy Mark Riley is here.
Hey!
We're hanging out. We got a lot of things going on. We got the Dream Diary coming up. We got the Birth of a Nation, the Iraq Birth of a Nation coming up. We got Monday job listing coming up. Larry Johnson, former deputy director of the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism, he's coming up. We're going to be talking about how they are now discussing a way to suspend the election. They're setting up some protocol in case there is a terrorist attack. They're going to set up some protocol, or at least start discussing a protocol to put into place in order to suspend the elections if necessary, which a highly politicized issue. Is it a way for Bush to sort of, like, does it just set the stage for the worst fears of all paranoid radicals like myself? I mean, I'm waiting for that one. There's a terrorist alert in all swing states. It's very specific. It's aimed at undecided and Democratic voters. We don't know how it's going to come down.
This isn't new, though. You know, they've been talking about this for a while. What's new about it is now that there are elements in the federal government, one of whom we will talk to tomorrow.
That's right.
The Reverend DeForest Soares.
You know, the terror thing freaks me out. As I want to tell you what really happened to me. On Friday night, you know, I did that show, the Tinkle Show at Southpaw in Brooklyn with my buddies Dave Crust, Todd Berry, John Benjamin, John Glazer was there from the Conan O'Brien show, okay. Very funny guy. Andy Blitz was there. Ted Leo blew the place out.
Really?
Yeah, he's a guitar player. I think he's got a band, too. I think they might be called The Pharmacist, but he was solo that night. Just came out with a big old Gibson, did a cover of The Spirit of Radio, the Rush song.
Okay.
Invisible Airways. You know that one?
Yeah.
But he got out there just by himself with a big old fat Gibson and just laid it out. You know what I mean? And it was great. I did a little something. I left. I didn't get to see the Capitol Years. It's another band. Fred Armisen was there. I didn't get to see him.
Did you get to play? Do you play your guitar out? I mean,
no, I don't go on stage. As Kennison used to say, it's like I just can't figure out how to do that without looking hacky. So you know, I don't. You know, there's no way for me to integrate the music into it without looking like what we used to call a boat act, happy hour person. You know, people generally, unless you're going to be kind of precious and alternative, there's no way to bring the guitar. What are you going to do? Song parodies, silly songs? Like, you know, are you going to do?
No, some virtuosity, man.
I'll lay out and jam.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not talking about
singing comedy stuff.
No, not raindrops are falling on my head, for God's sake.
No, but a lot of cats, you know, the happy hour comics used to do song parodies and stuff. But, Adam Sandler plays his guitar to I don't even want to start talking about Adam Sandler because, I mean, unless
here
you're,
we go.
Unless you're seven, like inside or actually seven. But anyways, the thing I was saying is I'm on the train, like, so I got the terror in my head because we read the description. Remember last week we talked about the descriptions of people you should be suspicious of?
Loose fitting clothes,
mumbling,
big bulges.
In parentheses, praying.
Yes.
Dude, so I'm sitting across from a guy. All right, he's got the Muslim prayer beads out. He's working them, okay? And, you know, he's got a briefcase, okay? He's working the prayer beads.
Muslim, not Catholic.
No, this is a Muslim dude.
Okay.
They got a bead thing, don't they?
I think they do.
Yeah. Oh, my God, could I be that wrong? Is it, like, this is the whole...
Could the guy have been Catholic?
This is the whole issue. It didn't look Catholic. They didn't look like rosary beads, and they weren't the Greek-style, Greek Orthodox beads.
Okay.
You know, and I'm making assumptions. That's what this whole thing's about. So I'm looking. He's working the beads, you know, and, you know, he's drifting off. His eyes are getting glazed over. He's holding his briefcase in a way that I find suspicious. And I'm sitting there going, get off, man. Get off the train. I mean, this is exactly what you should be looking for. This guy could blow us all up. And then there was part of me that said, dude, you're jumping the gun. What are the odds, really? Mm-hmm. You are guilty of racial profiling. You are being guilty of being a little racist here. You're judging this guy on an assumption, all right? You're judging this guy by the way he looks. And then the other part of me is like, dude, just get off, man. Just get off, man. So I'm sitting here, do I die or admit that I'm being a little racist?
I'm not
worried. Right? All right, so here's what I do, Riley. Listen, I choose to just get off and go to the next car over. I don't get off the train. I go to the next car over, and I'm sitting there going, okay, if it blows up, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to take a hit, and that's the punishment I deserve for being a little bit racist.
Oh, Lord. So, in other words, you had one side on this side, one side on this side, one on top of your head.
And I negotiated. I just got one car over. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, we have to start asking ourselves at some point, to what extent are some of these paranoid fears being fueled by our government? We do know that as of yesterday, George Tenet, and he's the guy that's supposed to be collecting the intelligence, that's supposed to be keeping us all safe from guys who might be inclined to blow up a subway. George Tenet is out. John McLaughlin is in at the CIA.
Is that permanent?
No, temporary.
He is
the acting CIA, acting director.
I thought someone came in and dumped some news on you, and I'm just sitting here talking about myself.
No,
breaking news, and Riley's like, I've got something important to say, Mr. Selfish Man.
No, he's calling, though, for caution in demanding reform of the agency, which, of course, was one of the centerpieces of that Senate Intelligence Committee report. He says a lot of the changes that Intel report talks about have already been made. Where have I heard that before?
Right.
Where an agency that gets criticized, you know, and people say they need to change stuff, and they say, well, we've already done that.
Is that the FBI?
I think it might have been the FBI.
Or
any number of other government agencies under George W. Bush.
It pisses me off, man, that they're going to be like, they just left the door open for this administration to blame the CIA for everything. They could literally, knowing this administration, say, hey, look, you know, we thought we were doing the right thing. If it weren't for that Clinton appointee tenant with the screwy info, you know, and using all these, you know, these Iraqi rats who had drinking problems and their own personal visions of things. You know, I just hope, you know, come on, we got to stay on top of these guys.
Yeah, and right, that wasn't Dick Cheney driving his car in front of, or actually being driven by a chauffeur over to Langley to ask them to try and make the intelligence conform properly. But
we've got, you know, I mean, that's what they did, man.
I know that's what they did. I know that's what they did. But they didn't want to come forward with this. The Senate didn't want to come forward with this during an election. They didn't want people to jump up and say, well, they're being partisan, the United States Senate. You know, these Democrats, they're trying to slur the president. They're trying to make him look bad. So now they are trying to push for the naming of a new director of Central Intelligence. And Bush says, and I'm quoting here, that decision will be made in due course, which means right after the election.
Right. Can we just back up for 1 second about
this? Sure, please.
Let's not forget, that Richard Clark, in his book, all right, said, quote, now he never said make it up. But the entire conversation left me in absolutely no doubt that George Bush wanted me to come back with a report that said Iraq did this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one way that they bullied the intelligence. Paul O'Neill said similar stuff. You know what I mean? He said that from the very beginning there was a conviction that Saddam Hussein was a bad person and that he needed to go. Okay,
yep.
And there was also the momentum of the neoconservatives from 1998. That they've been planning this war since 1998. So, I mean, let's not, you know, let them off the hook like the senators did. And I'm really disappointed in the Democratic senators. I mean, we really had an opportunity here to take this president to task, and they didn't take him to task. I mean, the truth of the matter is, from all indications, from Bob Woodward's book, from Paul O'Neill's statements, from Richard Clark's statements, this president said, look, I understand you've got flimsy intelligence, but I don't care. I need you to sign off on it so I can do this. And I think that's what George Tenet did when he said this is a slam dunk, is he was that was basically him kissing Bush ass and giving Bush what he wanted. He said, look what we did. We manipulated this intelligence so it fits your agenda. That's a slam dunk. Can I keep my job? No.
Absolutely.
Clinton appointed, you're taking the fall. You're the scapegoat. You're the blame boy. Right?
Important point.
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And there's more to buttress what you just said.
Yeah, I interrupted you. We're going to come back and finish what Riley had to say. All right, see you in a second.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Mark's having some trouble with his chair today.
Yeah, almost fell out of it.
The chair is your enemy, man.
I'm going to need a hip replacement by the end of this show.
We can be heroes if we mobilize and vote. You know, somewhere on the blog, it's like, by the way, the Liberal Talk Network mentioned in that story was Eddie Schultz, not in Air America, talking about the WINZ 4 to 940 AM. Eddie Schultz is carried on Air America in some markets, as in Portland and other places. Right now it's time for Mondays, the first day of the week, Dream Diary.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. I met a psychic called Madame Bob. In the waiting room are purple velvet curtains and crystals and pyramids and all-seeing eyes. And a stock ticker and copies of Forbes. Apparently Madame Bob dabbles in day trading. She must be good. Mr. Marin, a voice says, and I turn. Madame Bob is standing at the door in a tight silver gown covered with sequins. She looks like Diana Rigg in 1966. God, she's fabulous. I know what you're thinking, and it's not going to happen. I'm a certified paranormal professional, and besides, I'm not attracted to any man who waits 3 days between shaves. Hold on. That's not really what she sounded like. I know what you're thinking, and it's not going to happen. I'm a certified paranormal and a professional. Besides, I'm not attracted to any man who waits 3 days between shaves, honey. I know they're not shaving thing would bite me in the ass someday. We stare into a crystal ball. we have to see like six pop-up ads first, which is so annoying. But then there's a message that emerges clearly. Madam Bob says, ah, the future. I see a clumsy little man in a flight suit chained to a monster with a metal heart, wearing aviator glasses and spouting obscenities. They are stumbling toward a prize they feel they deserve, but every couple of days they do something so arrogant and stupid that it sets them back another mile. Behind them is a bloody trail of ruin, war, and greed. Despite vast wealth and influence, the prize seems very far indeed for two such complete douchebags. All right, Madam Bob. The neocons are going down. Wait! I see two others striving for the same goal. One stalwart and grim, the other golden and full of life. They must face down the other two seekers while avoiding peril around every corner. So what are you saying? Basically, it's going to come down to the debates. If they can take Ohio, Bush is toast. What about terrorism? Oh, who knows? You might as well predict terrorism by using a colored chart and the opinion of a highly partisan government employee. Okay, well, what about me? I see you becoming angered by innocuous emails. I see your caffeine level use leveling off sometime in September. Oh, one other thing. Your dead cat Butch says hello and says next time you're buying the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, get the small. Anything else? That gray thing on your testicle, have it looked at. Hey, wait a minute. I woke up and my bed was filled with moon rocks. So now I'm assuming that Larry Johnson had to sit and listen to that on the phone.
I think he might, so maybe we should go to him, should we?
Yeah, joining us by phone from New York is Larry Johnson, who served with the CIA from 1985 through 1989. He was also in the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism from 1989 through 1993. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
God, that was riveting.
And that's coming from a professional.
From a professional standpoint, man.
So,
wiping the tears from my eyes.
We all are here. We all are. Everywhere around the world, people are wiping the tears because of my dream, my problems. So, Kenneth's resignation took effect yesterday. So, what's morale like at the CIA, you know?
Not good. Yeah. Well, they're getting beaten like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah. So how is it possible that we've let this climate exist that now Bush can blame the CIA for everything?
Well, there are clear things to blame the CIA for. There was a dereliction of duty out there. There was pressure applied. I can't believe Pat Roberts goes out and says, we can't find a single analyst that said there was pressure, and yet here you've got the Senate itself reporting that there was no relationship between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, and Dick Cheney running around like a maniac insisting that there was.
Yeah, he thinks he's a hypnotist. He thinks he's going to keep saying it, that people go, it must be true.
Yeah, no, exactly right. So, I mean, and that's an example of the kind of pressure that has existed. So the CIA has a lot to answer for. That said, the decision to go to war was made well before they had the national intelligence estimate from the CIA.
Right. So clearly that the agenda existed long before anything happened.
Right.
Yeah. Now, what about these terror alerts? I mean, do you think this is political and the possibility of maybe changing, creating some protocol to suspending the election? I mean, I'm a paranoid freak.
Well, John Edwards and John Kerry are getting all this attention, and you have Tom Ridge come out and announce the terror warning, which, you know, is there anything specific? Well, no. Are you going to raise the terror color code? Well, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what are you doing out here?
We're just telling you something really bad's going to happen.
You know, hey, Islamic extremists hate us. Duh.
Yeah. Are you surprised there hasn't been an attack?
No, not really, because actually the Bush administration, to its credit, has done a pretty good job of disrupting the network internationally. But doing so required international cooperation, so this go it alone nonsense doesn't work. You have to have other people working with you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Larry Johnson, I'm curious whether you think any of the pressure coming out of the Senate Intelligence Committee for the president to name a new CIA director, a new permanent CIA director before November, will it bear fruit on any level, or do you think Bush is just going to do this in his own way, in his own time?
No, I think the pressure is likely to drive him to try to select someone. I just hope it's not a political hack.
Like who?
Well, if they put Porter Goss in, that'll be a disaster, and hopefully the Senate Democrats will have enough guts to fight this. You don't need someone who's a political partisan. Someone like Richard Armitage, even though he is a political appointee in the Bush administration right now, I think would be a much more logical choice.
What's so bad about Goss?
Goss is just he's a partisan. You know, the last thing we need is somebody that's sitting there with their finger in the wind trying to figure out what does the president like or not like. You don't need some guy that's out there campaigning actively for one side or the other. You need someone that's going to say, look, you know, put politics aside. Let's do the job.
Like, what do you think of George Tenet?
I thought Tenet was a hack.
You know, really?
He'd been a political, you know, the political pool boy, you know, the towel boy up on Capitol Hill.
Right.
And then he goes out to the agency, and, you know, he should have stood up to the people downtown, and he should have enforced some standards inside the agency, and he didn't.
Is it your belief, I mean, I was speculating earlier that, you know, when he said it's a slam dunk, he was excited to have, you know, cowered to the bullying by the president to give him the information needed to make a decision to go to war, even though it wasn't stable information.
Well, you know, I've been an analyst and had to go in and brief. I briefed Vice President Quayle.
Okay.
Of, you know, three times over a five-day period.
Well,
that's all it took? Only 5 days?
Yeah. Well, actually, he was very good in person. You know, he's one of these guys, you put him on TV, he looks like the old deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
But in person, he was great.
But
your job is to give him the facts and make sure that you know what you're talking about and make sure you distinguish between what's known, what's not known, and what's speculation.
Well, it turns out that some of these guys that were getting information from, like that, were like this guy Curveball, was a little twisted.
Boy, you know, if you happen to name Curveball, what's the first clue that the guy's bad?
They should have known. They should have known. So tell us about Outfoxed. That's a new documentary.
Oh, boy, am I in trouble.
Oh, yeah. we know nothing about it. We haven't talked about it at all.
No, the movie by Robert Greenwald is actually, it's great. It is, you know, it just details that, look, there's media bias, and Fox is not alone in it, but, you know, at least you guys come up, you're straight up with your bias. You say, hey, we're a liberal radio, and that's fine. I have no problem with a conservative television network, but for God's sake, don't go out and say you're fair and balanced when you're unfair and unbalanced.
Right, right.
And part of, you know, one of the things that will come out in this movie, for example, you know, they had a morning memo that comes out giving sort of the thought of the day. These guys are Stalinists. It's like the thought police.
What's your connection with Fox?
I was a Fox News analyst for a year.
So you're saying that they're definitely Stalinist almost in the way.
Yeah, it was. They never told me what to say, what I could or couldn't say. Except I do. I will note that my last real appearance on the show, I was on Hannity and Combs on November 13th, 2002.
Yeah.
Where I said that the going to war in Iraq would be a diversion from the war on terrorism. The only shows I was on after that was the O'Reilly Factor three times, but nobody else would have me.
Right. They don't have to dictate what anyone says, but it's the placement and whether, you know, when they can turn you off and when they, you know, if they re-edit you.
That's true. But what was why I call them Stalinist is the correspondents and the producers, they live in terror that if they say the wrong thing, if they don't say what they're told to say, that they're going to lose their job or that they're not going to get airtime. And, I mean, there was genuine fear.
How do you know all this?
I played on the softball team.
that's how information is transferred.
You know, so when you're sitting out there on the dugout and you're chatting about life and you begin asking questions, you find some things out that you normally don't find out in just the course of a regular course of events.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Quick question. Don't you think that on some level the Bush administration is mischaracterizing the war on terror, and if we were to look at the numbers, they're really not doing that well at the war on terror?
Well, they are using the war on terror to scare the hell out of everybody.
To politicize.
Yeah, they're definitely. I mean, I'm disgusted by it. Yet, if they would sit down and just tell the story straight up, you know, we've done a pretty good job in general, except by going to war in Iraq, we've touched off a major terrorist upsurge.
Yeah. I got to go. I'm sorry. Thanks a lot, Larry.
Hey,
thanks
guys,
a lot,
thanks.
Larry.
Hey, you take care, Larry.
Take care.
Up next, more changes for that voters list in Florida. Plus, Iraq, birth of a nation. This is Air America Radio.
Nice. feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Coldies lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Coldies' patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Coldies lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Coldies nasal spray.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer, filling in for Wayne Gilman. Diplomatic ties between France and Iraq have been restored. They were severed during the Gulf War 13 years ago. The interim president of Iraq tells a British newspaper he's going to offer amnesty to some Iraqis who have been fighting against the U.S.-led occupation. But speaking with reporters in Baghdad today, the interim president also threatened to use a very sharp sword to fight insurgents. An anti-war group is filing suit against Clear Channel Communications, the big radio and billboard giant. Project Billboard of Berkeley claims that when its anti-war artwork was submitted, the company reneged on its agreement to lease a billboard in Times Square during the Republican National Convention. Debate resumes today in the Senate on the proposed constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage. The head of the NAACP is calling for its members to vote President Bush out of office. Julian Bond, speaking at the group's convention in Philadelphia, said the administration preaches racial neutrality and practices racial division. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Hi, this is Al Franken with sad news for you, O Franken Factor fans. The show's ended. But we will be back Monday with the Al Franken Show. Nothing will have changed, but we're calling it the Al Franken Show, and you just have to get used to it.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer on Air America Radio.
Sometimes I got the music up so much in my headphones that literally when you kick on the intro music, I'm jolted.
You know, that on top of the coffee. I'm jolted out of I'm Mark Maron. I'm a jolted Mark Maron. But not as jolted as usual. I can't believe how many people, you know, on the emails are like, dude, slow down on the coffee. Slow down, because I make a pot at home, and then I have the guy stop at Dunkin' Donuts and get me more. Oh, now I'm gonna piss off the one woman. It's like, why does he talk about himself drinking coffee? Doesn't he know he's plugging Dunkin' Donuts? Yes. Maybe you should go to Dunkin' Donuts, get some coffee, change your attitude.
No, you know what you need to do, though?
What, Mark Riley?
You need to do what Kalo did.
What?
Make that that hot pot of coffee and put it in one of these space age 21st century cup.
He's got something that looks like something you could load into a cartridge chamber, and it would actually be a bazooka. What is that? Yeah. What kind of coffee cup is that?
That's a Jetsons coffee cup.
What is that
called?
That's a Crate and Barrel coffee mug.
Here we're plugging everybody. So why don't you put your Dunkin' Donuts in that Crate and Barrel coffee mug and get into your... I don't know.
You know, Cynthia Jenkins and them from the sales line come up here and smack all of us. You know that, right?
You can go to airamerica.com and buy things.
That's right.
Why don't you go there and buy some things? They got a book club. Any book that we mention, any author that we have, you can go buy their books there. You can go buy little Air America Radio undershirts and thongs and dog
thongs
hats.
And teddies. MorningsEdition.com also has all of the above.
Yes.
So you can go to our little corner of the universe.
Our corner of the world. Yes. MorningsEdition.com is a full-service website with a blog, if you'd like to blog it up. Now, let's get back to where I interrupted you earlier, because you know what? We have continuity, Riley.
We got to try and do a little continuity. No, I wanted to go back and talk about something. We didn't get a chance to ask Larry Johnson about this. There was a meeting in 2002. In fact, I believe it was in August of 2002, an intelligence meeting that was attended by representatives of Doug Feit's office from the Pentagon. And he, of course, is the deputy undersecretary for policy and was a big proponent of the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
These Pentagon officials criticized the CIA's failure to turn up that link between bin Laden and Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Now, ask yourself this question. How would you feel as a CIA officer to have some guys from the Pentagon come to your office?
Yeah.
And tell you, hey, you know, you guys are kind of slipping on the job here because you have, even though you've done the homework and haven't found the link, they're coming to tell you you haven't done the homework.
They come and they're wearing their dark glasses and they're like, what's up?
The earpieces.
What are you guys, you little girly intelligence guys? Can't quite seem to cut the mustard, can you?
Yeah.
I guess that's just because your weenies are too short and you don't have the guts to be in the Pentagon, huh? Maybe you ought to do something to make us like you, huh?
Yep.
That's right. They're bullying the geek info guys.
Well, you know, people say, people told the Senate Intelligence Committee, this was highly unusual procedure to have some Pentagon guys coming to the CIA telling them what intelligence they're supposed to come up with. But then you also had Dick Cheney going.
Who's still saying that there's a link. Look, you know what? What's that guy? Ought to have lunch with one of Saddam Hussein's guys in a food court at the Baghdad Mall. It wasn't clear if they were sitting at the same table, but one of them had a Starbucks cup. The other one had a Subway sandwich. See, I'm just trying to get the plugs in.
Yeah.
Starbucks, Subway sandwich, or maybe it was a Dunkin' Donuts drinking out of a Crate and Barrel mug with the guy from Air America Radio.
That's right. Conveniently located right next to the convention.
And this isn't speculation. Maybe I know something you don't know.
Yep.
That's what he says.
Well, how would the CIA, how would you as a CIA case officer feel when you started hearing that all of these people from all of these different offices, including the Vice President of the United States, are coming to your office and essentially calling you out?
Well, what you would feel is that, like, number one, you know, I want to keep my job. Is my job in trouble? Are they riding me? Is this a threat?
Yeah.
You know, are they saying that I'm not doing my job, I'm going to lose my job? The other way to look at it is, are they saying that I'm tiny and that I'm not a real man? The other way to say is, like, the righteous thing to do is say, look, you know, this is it.
Mm.
This is what we have. This is all we have. That's it.
You
lay
think
off.
You think that's what they did, though?
No, because all these politicians and anyone involved in this structure seems to care about is their own ass. I mean, I watched, you know, Roberts, I watched Rockefeller on TV, and these guys, they're senators, and there's such a decorum with senators. There's that horrible mixture of a decorum and complete avoidance to watch your own ass. Now, Jay Rockefeller was a little more forthright and a little more willing to criticize the administration, but Roberts was just spinning the hell out of stuff and avoiding to get to the issue of, should this president take responsibility for the intelligence failure? And yes, he should. He could just get to blame Tenet just because he's a Clinton appointee or because of whatever. They should have, like, followed through and really, you know, and what I'm saying is they bullied these guys. They got the information they wanted. Now they're scapegoating them. They're trying to wash their hands of it.
Do you think they'll bully us out of an election? That may be also part of the scenario here. You know, there is this agency that is, and it's headed up by a gentleman by the name of DeForest Soares, who I'm quite familiar with.
He's coming on the show, right?
He's coming on the show tomorrow. The name of that organization is the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. He has asked Tom Ridge, the Homeland Security Director, to ask for authority to postpone the election in the event of a terror attack.
As one of our bloggers said, they didn't postpone the election during the Civil War. I mean, it's got to be, you know, let me tell you something. If the terrorist attack is that bad that they have to postpone an election, man, we are really losing this war. I mean, this is obviously there should be some protocol in place if something horrendous happens, but that's, if they're talking about a terrorist attack that would disrupt this country's election system, oh my God.
Well, see, right now, the states have the ability to postpone elections, which happened on September 11, 2001, because it was a primary year in New York. But they want the feds to be able to do it nationally now.
866-303-2270. Call us. What do you think? 866-303-2270.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Look at you guys calling us. 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270.
22-70. Riley, man, between the chair and the mic, I think that Mark Riley's microphone just attacked him.
I think it did.
Is that
I got
what happened?
A big lump on the side of my head.
Man, the chair's out to get you. The microphone's out to get you. Wow.
And all that came from a drop pin, Michael.
Here we go. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 15. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Yes, good morning. I understand you've agreed not to produce nuclear weapons. I know. Hey, you're cooperating with the international community. That's great. But you were never going to get nukes. Ever. Here's how the nuclear club works. We're in it. Russia's in it, even though their missiles are probably rusted in their silos. They were kind of grandfathered in. China's in, purely on population. Britain and France are in. That's an ego thing. And Israel's got them. Okay. And that's why. But we have to draw a line. India and Pakistan, they snuck in when someone wasn't minding the Velvet Rope. I know. I guess what we're saying is that you don't need to make any grand pronouncements about not joining the nuclear club because you're not going to get an invitation. Hey, easy. We took a good long look at your nuclear weapons development program, and frankly, there are junior high schools in New Jersey that will have nuclear capability before you do. Yes, be honest. Would you trust you with nuclear weapons? Honestly, please. Honest. Well, neither would we. Stick to what you do best. Yes, that's right. That's right. Old school, baby. Good luck, and God bless. This is Day 15 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Here we go. Margaret in New York, listening to WLIB. Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
To let the terrorists dictate ahead of time a contingency plan for the United States of America for an election is to let them win. We possibly cannot encourage people to do something that will disrupt the election. And if it were to be disrupted, the question has to be, where is the money? Who did the looting? The committee can only say, all incumbents out. We have a long tradition, throw the bums out. Let's make it a policy if we have
yes.
the opportunity.
Yes, thank you, Margaret.
Oh,
thank you. That was beautifully delivered.
Yeah.
Beautifully. That was like a nice build. She had passion. There was a great message there. She's absolutely right. Throw the bums out.
Now, she's saying, I assume, that if terrorists do disrupt the election, it is the fault of incumbent politicians.
Absolutely.
Lay
they're
the
losing.
Blame where it belongs.
They're losing. They're lying and they're losing. 866-303-2270. 2270. 303-2270 with an 806 in front of it. Liz in Minnesota, how are you?
How are you this morning?
Hey,
we're trying to figure it out.
I want to know what the criteria, what's the guidelines? Who makes the decision? Is it because they've raised a terror alert? Because so what? They do it, like, every day. And is it because Bush is having a bad day? Does Congress vote on it?
Well, here it is, Liz.
We're trying to figure that out. They're trying to figure that out.
There are no guidelines.
Exactly.
There are state guidelines. Right now, for example, on September 11, 2001, there was a mayoral primary in New York City, which was immediately postponed by the New York State Board of Elections because they have that power. There is no one right now. Now, on the federal level, that has that power. Not Tom Ridge, not even George W. Bush, as far as I know. He may have certain executive powers to take certain actions, but I don't think postponing an election is one of them. That's why DeForest Soares, who runs this election assistance commission, has asked Tom Ridge, the Homeland Security Director, to give him the authority to postpone the national elections in the event of a terrorist attack.
And the real question is do we have time to talk about this? There needs to be debate. There needs to be talk, you know, like active participation in both houses to decide, you know, what is the criterion for letting this happen?
Never mind both houses. The Forest Soar is going to be here tomorrow.
Right, absolutely.
We'll get a chance to ask him and debate with him directly.
How it's being handled.
Absolutely.
Vince in Virginia, how are you?
How are you?
Hey, Vince.
Good. What's on your mind, buddy?
We were talking about earlier about Bush changing, talking about hyping up the war intelligence.
Yeah.
Well, David Corn wrote a great article in The Nation that points out how Bush subtly changed words that the CIA used to make it sound more threatening than it actually is.
Well, I'm sure that's true, and I bet you we even got a copy of that somewhere. Not the article, but the words. But, you know, thank you. We'll certainly take a look at that article, and if people are listening, you want to see that's David Corn. I'm assuming it's in The Nation, yes?
Yeah, I think it is in The Nation, and we're going to post a link on morningsedition.com.
Thanks a lot, Vince.
Take a look at that. Yeah, we appreciate it. And you know, this kind of manipulation, you know, people are starting to ask themselves, wait a minute, we impeached Bill Clinton over sex. And we're seeing all this manipulation, all this secrecy, all this foolishness in this administration. And, you know, somebody says the word starting with imper, and people go, whoa, you can't say that.
Right. Well, dig this right here. This is Bush at a press conference at the ranch in Crawford on August 16th, 2002. There should be no doubt in anybody's mind that this man is thumbing his nose at the world, that he has gassed his own people, that he is troubling his neighborhood, that he desires weapons of mass destruction. 12 days later... A lot of people understand he holds weapons of mass destruction. He just kept sort of twisting it and twisting it. And then, like, 10 days after the original thing on August 26th, Cheney says, there's no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. There's no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends and against our allies and against us. So Cheney's always been the guy to go in with the big lies. They're like, here you go. We're going to put you out there. You know, what do you got to lose? People believe him because he's the devil. And I think I'm giving him too much credit. I think that the devil's more charming than Dick Cheney. Mike in New Jersey, how are you, Mike?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, good. Mike.
Listen, I think the only way to describe this whole terror thing is they're treating us like Pavlov's dog. If you remember that one, the
sure. Conditioned response.
They're trying to condition us. Like the last 4 or 5 months, either Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Ridge comes out, they raise the terror alert. But why don't they raise the color coding?
Well,
if they raise the color coding, they have to provide money.
Exactly. That's why.
So they don't do that. And, you know, it's just, I think it's just part of their plan.
Yeah, so how relevant is, how real is the threat? How relevant is it? And is it just them trying to distract us from the fact that we've got a tremendous Democratic ticket?
Well, I think that this is the scariest thing I think I've heard of. We've gone through a civil war and 2 world wars. And we've never canceled the federal election.
Absolutely right. Well, we're going to talk to a guy tomorrow that's going to lay it out for us on how they're thinking about you know, creating the protocol to do this on a national scale.
Well, yeah, and he wants to be the one that pushes the button.
Yeah,
that cancels the election.
Yeah, oh, well, that's. Well, I'm glad he's going to talk to us because we're going to have to maybe take him hostage.
Or debate him at least.
Okay, that's a better way to do it, probably. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Wow. Man, it's Monday. It's 54 past the hour. We'll help Juan in action here. We know a lot of people out there are out of work and spent your Sunday leafing through the Juan ads or monster.com. We want to help, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So here are our Mornings Edition Monday Help Wanted listings. Wanted, new director for the CIA. Major intelligence gathering organization seeks new figurehead. Experience required, at least 12 years of destabilizing unfriendly governments and shoring up friendly dictatorships. You will be responsible for gathering intelligence which supports preordained conclusions and conforms to the rigid ideology of a small cabal of neocons. And you will never, ever acknowledge that. This successful candidate will be a motivated self-starter with a can-do attitude. Who the hell are we kidding? We need a new fall guy, and fast. Wanted. New personal physician for vice president. Seeking highly experienced medical professional for the care of cantankerous yet fragile top executive. Candidate should be qualified to dispense drugs without personally consuming inordinate quantities of them. Physician must be versed in the arcane arts of sustaining an evil spirit with the blood and fluids of assorted virgins and abducted babies. Should be discreet, resourceful, and comfortable working from undisclosed locations. Must also be comfortable with sudden flashes of temper and profanity. Length of assignment depends entirely on your success. There you go. So in response to the assumption made by some of Riley's contacts out in the world that some black people are going to be voting for Bush solely because he is against gay marriage, we got an email, Riley.
Yep. Sorry, Mark and Mark, but it's not ridiculous to think at least some African-Americans are going to be voting for Bush solely because of the gay marriage issue. My dumbass sister has made it clear to me that she's voting for Bush on the basis of his stance on gay marriage. Stupidity comes in all shapes and sizes, man.
My dumbass sister.
My dumbass sister. There you go.
That should be the name of a sitcom.
Yeah, really.
Bop, 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 bop. My dumbass sister will be back in a minute.
Really? You know, but look, there are, I'm sure, some people, and we're going to get into this in the next hour. There's some people who are, in fact, going to vote for George W. Bush based on this ridiculous stand that he's taken. By the way, a stand that he has flip-flopped on. Along with his vice president,
but I'll tell you something though: a few more black people are going to get out to the polls in Florida this year.
Yeah, a few more black people. As a matter of fact, a few more blacks, a few more Latinos, a few more whites. Florida election officials said over the weekend they are not going to use that list, which I mean was getting pilloried from all sides. That was designed to keep felons from voting. That list had about 28,000 Democrats and about 9,500 Republicans, with the rest of them unaffiliated. Now, the reason they're giving for not using the thing, it's not that, you know, there were people who had been granted clemency and should be allowed to vote that were on the list, or what happened in 2000 where there were large numbers of people with the same names or whatever, and people who were actually enfranchised to vote got disenfranchised. Now they're saying the reason why they're not using the list is because, you got a drum roll on there?
Yeah.
Let's there we go.
You gotta let it build. It's a big drum roll.
The reason why they're not going to use the Florida felons list is because it would have allowed convicted Hispanic felons to vote.
Wow.
Wow.
There you go. So I imagine this because they buckled under the pressure of CNN forcing them in a lawsuit to release the
information. To release some of the information, yeah. And what they found was that they had incompatible databases between convicted felons in Florida and on the list in Florida, Hispanic felons.
Wow, we had a little oversight, technological oversight, that got my brother elected on an unfair ballot.
Yeah, well, the problem was unforeseen and unintentional, according to a spokesperson for Secretary of State Glenda Hood. Nevertheless, they're going to find other ways to ensure felons are removed from the rolls. Now, not every state in America, for those of you who don't know this, not every state in America takes away a convicted felon's right to vote.
Right.
In many instances, after you've paid your debt to society, you can, in fact, come back and get your right to vote. But in a state like Florida, which was decided by 537 votes 4 years ago,
yeah,
who gets to vote is going to be an issue. And this list was flawed from the beginning.
With the number of felons that flocked to Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. The easy pickings down there. In the next hour of Morning Tradition, Recovery Corner, the Presidential Palm Pilot and more. This is Air America Radio.
If you've got an engine with over 75,000 miles on it, here's something to think about. High-mileage engines often perform differently. With increased oil consumption, lower fuel efficiency, and more rapid oil breakdown, Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil helps offset the aging of critical engine parts and seals. This is the good stuff. And right now, you can get Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil for just $1.99 a quart. Price does not include state and local taxes and recycling fees.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer, filling in for Wayne Gilman. Three U.S. soldiers are dead in the latest violence in Iraq. A roadside bomb went off Sunday as a U.S. patrol went by in Samarra. That's a hotbed of violence about 60 miles north of Baghdad. Two U.S. soldiers were killed in that attack and three others hurt. Earlier, a U.S. convoy was attacked in a city about 90 miles south of the northern city of Mosul. Diplomatic ties between France and Iraq have been restored. They were severed during the Gulf War 13 years ago. The interim president of Iraq tells a British newspaper he's going to offer amnesty to some Iraqis who have been fighting against the U.S.-led occupation. However, speaking with reporters in Baghdad today, the interim president also threatened to use what he called a very sharp sword to fight insurgents and anyone else threatening the security of the country. President Bush travels to Tennessee today to take a look at the nuclear weapons parts turned over by Libya. Oak Ridge National Laboratory began receiving shipments from Libya in March as part of an agreement to end the country's nuclear weapons program. Bush's visit is seen as an effort to convince voters the Bush administration is making steady progress in the war on terrorism. The White House suggests that Bush's hardline strategy and the war in Iraq helped convince Libya to turn over its nuclear weaponry. Democrats say diplomacy helped prompt that turnaround. President Bush is taking a licking, but he keeps on looking good to his supporters. A new study of the news media from Columbia University's Project for Excellence in Journalism says that even though the news coverage of Bush has been full of negatives, it hasn't eroded people's impression of him, according to the director of the group, Tom Rosenstein.
The evidence suggests that the press coverage, even if it's critical, isn't hurting Bush that much, because apparently people already know a lot about him and have made up their minds about him.
The study also shows that both Bush and John Kerry are having trouble keeping control of their campaign messages because they're being viewed through the lens of coverage of the war in Iraq. What would happen in Massachusetts if John Kerry was elected president? Well, the Republican governor there, Mitt Romney, would get to appoint Kerry's successor to the Senate. But the Democrats who dominate the state legislature are trying to change the law to require a special election. So Romney is proposing a compromise under which there still would be a special election, but Romney would be able to appoint a senator during the interim period. In the U.S. Senate today, they will resume debating that proposed constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. Supporters acknowledge the proposal has the backing of only about half of the Senate, and that would be far short of the two-thirds needed to approve a change. However, a vote on the gay marriage constitutional amendment would put senators on the spot during an election year. And to no one's surprise, eight people were gored today during the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. It's what they do. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
You need to buy or sell your home, but where do you start?
Sorry to interrupt, but the place to start is LendingTree.com. You can search home listings, have real estate agents compete for your business, and bankers compete for your mortgage. You can even get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot when you close with an agent certified by LendingTree. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. LendingTree, Inc. is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Okay. All right. Good morning. I'm up. We're going. We've been going for a while. It's Monday. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
I'm Mark Maron. I was over in my house this weekend, my kitchen, or as I like to call it, the killing fields of roaches. I had the exterminator come in, man. Dude. I couldn't, like, well, it got to this point where, you know, when you have roaches for a period of time or ants, and you don't do anything about it for a period of time, and you develop this weird relationship with them, with sort of like, wow, you guys have been productive tonight. Look, this is interesting. Look how many of you there are in all different sizes. So finally I had the exterminator come in, and now it's just like, it's like a mass grave in my kitchen. I had to clean it all up yesterday. That was exciting.
Wait a minute. You didn't go through the thing where you started hearing them fall dead in the middle of the night and stuff, did you? Because I had that happen to me once.
Dude, you just took it to a new level.
Yeah.
Here I was trying to be kind of funny and cute about my roach problem, but now, like, you hear them falling off the wall.
Yep.
No. No, no.
All night long.
Oh, no, no,
it's
no.
It's a strange and wonderful
thing. Yeah, I cleaned it all up, and now, my buddy Sam Lipside, you listening, buddy? Call me up. 866-303-2270. I want to have the argument again. My friend, he's a really bright guy. You know, brown, you know, those guys. Sort of, you know, liberal, intelligent, but not Harvard, you know.
Yeah, but and also not racial.
Right.
This is Brown University he's talking about.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's a yellow man. He's right from Brown University. And he's a genius. The guy's a great writer. He's written some great books. He's got a new book coming out in a little while called Homeland. His other book, Subject Steve, is, I think, available still on Amazon. Yeah, Venus Drive is his book of short stories. And I go over there. He's got a week old. If you've been listening since 6 o'clock, I'm telling the story again. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm sorry. You're just going to have to go through
it. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got the solution to this.
What?
For those of you who are just joining us.
Yes. I had an argument with my friend Sam. And there's this disposition that liberals have. Before we actually got any momentum with Kerry and, you know, having our guy, you know, the argument started with me saying, I think Nader should just cool it. You know, I'm not, you know, and I didn't even say that he should drop out. I just don't think people should, maybe I did say he should drop out. I just don't think people should vote for Nader. You know, and Sam was like, well, you got to have him there. It's important what he stands for, and I think we need a third party, and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, fine, but not this year. Mm-hmm. This isn't the year to do that. You know, we've got to get Bush out. Kerry's our guy. We got to get behind him and get Bush out. And then he says this thing. It's like, yeah, but when Kerry gets in, we've got to hold him to task. We've got to, you know, we've got to make him do. Feet to the fire. It's like, when Kerry gets in, how did you just step over the big step? You know, because there's this intellectual projection, you know, of like, you know, like, why don't we get behind this thing and make this thing happen and have a certain amount of optimism and putting this guy in office and getting Bush out of office? But the idea that, like, Kerry wouldn't really change anything. Just the idea of Bush and those guys being gone is a 90% change. It'll change the tone of the culture. It'll change the dynamics of Washington. It'll change so much. It'll, you know, hopefully we won't have any Christian judges. Not just Christian. You know what I'm talking about. You know,
fundamental.
Speaking
in tongues, Christian judges.
You know, and I got so aggravated. And he said, well, it's all the same. And he was talking about the war in Iraq in terms of, like, he said, there's no difference between sanctions and bombing. And that, for some reason, really stuck in my craw. You know, I'm like, of course there is. You know, when you bomb, there's no middleman. It's just people getting bombed. I mean, if you were to ask the Iraqis, I mean, granted, a lot of people died under the sanctions. But, you know, within sanctions, the responsibility is still with the leader of the country. And mm-hmm. The leader of the country can still reach out to other countries that aren't sanctioning them in order to get the benefits that their people need. So when people die under sanctions, granted, we may be responsible as a government who was sanctioning them. But it's not the same as bombing.
No, it's not the same. And in fact, there were some preliminary talks back in the mid-1990s with Saddam Hussein. They didn't go anywhere.
Right.
About getting the sanctions lifted. There's a big, big difference between sanctions and bombing.
The intellectual negativity of some liberals that I talk to, they're the same people that are like, yeah, we're screwed, man. You know, like, they're like, Bush is just unbeatable. And now, like, you know, it's like, there's no reason to think like that. There's just no reason to think like that. And we've got, you know, something happened to the left somewhere along the line. I think that, you know, in the 80s when Reagan was president, that was really the last of this sort of reactionary progressives. And now they're starting to come back around. You know,
yeah.
They may not be completely pro-Kerry, you know, and that's not necessary. But Kerry is the Democratic candidate. He is, you know, the salvation of the country in terms of ridding the country of Bush. He does have a great history in the Senate. He's got a great running mate. There's no reason to not get behind him and push this thing through and make it happen.
Well, we've got, I think, a clear and present danger in the current president. And part of the reason why I say that, although, let me say for the record, I am a straight man. But not marrying straight man, that means in my sexual orientation.
Yeah. Me.
And this whole gay marriage thing is just completely and utterly sticking in my craw. It
yes.
makes me angry. It makes me upset that these people are going to use a substantial part of America's population, America's gay community, as a whipping boy or whipping girl, depending on how you look at it, to divert attention from some of the issues that really, really need to be dealt with.
It's ridiculous.
And not only that, you know, these guys aren't even consistent. And we're talking, of course, about a constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage, which is being taken up in the Congress inexplicably today. Bush is behind it, obviously. But he wasn't always behind it. And we're not even sure if the vice president, Dick Cheney, and his wife see eye to eye on the issue of banning gay marriage. Let's go back in time a little bit, Mark Maron.
Hold on. Let me get my time machine.
Let's get the time machine. There we go. Let's go back to 2000 during the vice presidential debate, and let's hear what Dick Cheney had to say about the issue of gay marriage.
I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate. I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area. I try to be open-minded about it as much as I can and tolerant of those relationships. And like Joe, I'm also wrestle with the extent to which there ought to be legal sanction of those relationships. I think we ought to do everything we can to tolerate and accommodate whatever kind of relationships people want to enter into.
Wow, hold on. Let's come back to the present.
Yeah. Let's go fast forward 4 years and lots of rhetoric later.
Can you believe that? Clearly a completely different Cheney.
Completely a different Cheney and a different President Bush. In 2000, President Bush told Larry King that gay marriage was also a state issue. Not now, though.
Our policies should aim to strengthen families, not undermine them. And changing the definition of traditional marriage will undermine the family structure.
Hmm. What's he talking about?
That was from his radio address this past
week. What the hell is he talking about? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, what's it got to do with anything? Yeah, maybe it'll undermine the family structure in the way that gays will be integrated properly into the culture as being a progressive culture and civilization that we have here, that maybe it would help family relationships if gays could get married, if they could, you know, have children and be, you know, proud of their situation in the world and be, you know just like everybody else in terms of how they're treated, you know, within the institution of marriage financially, how they're treated, you know, with their partners, if someone's sick or if somebody dies, what their rights are. I mean, it changes everything. It's progressive.
Well, see, that's the thing. There are people in this country that don't want to see gay people accepted into the mainstream of society. They will always be, for some people in America, the other.
Yeah, that's right. Make them uncomfortable. Make them social rejects. Push them, you know, into the priesthood.
Now, see, there you go. There you go, getting religious again.
Stifle them.
Well, I mean, it is really about stifling them, about keeping them in a closet.
Scientology claims that it can cure gayness.
Oh, okay.
What did you say in my head? Yes, we're going to talk about the election that there's we're going to talk about the election delay idea that they're going to
do. Oh, yeah, the postponement.
Hey, here we go. We'll be back in a minute.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
My life was on the line and they saved it. Thank God for Life Alert. I owe my life to it.
Senior citizens can live feeling protected at home rather than facing a retirement institution. Life Alert provides constant monitoring protection, which allows independent living in the comfort of home. For a free brochure, call 1-800-588-3133.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone, and I realized that I had to do something, take better care of myself. Life Alert is there when I need them and I feel I can depend on them.
If a senior has an emergency, help is immediately available at the touch of a button, even if the senior can't reach a phone. Life Alert Monitoring Center is on the line and links to local police, fire, and paramedics. For a free brochure that lists all the services and assistance available with Life Alert, call 1-800-588-3133 today. That's 1-800-588-3133. 1-800-588-3133.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
It's Morning's Edition again here on Monday. I'm with Mark Riley and Mark Maron.
Hey!
My friend Sam called me a shill as well.
He called you a shill?
Yeah, a shill.
A shill for whom?
I think for the Democratic Party or something like that.
Oh!
Clearly he's not listening to the show or he would have called by now. Sam, call me.
Well, there is somebody named Unknown on here.
3-2-2-2-2-2-7. I'm going to get Lipside on. I'm going to get him on tomorrow maybe. I want to make him an on-air personality. I want him to take it to the people. I want him to represent the intellectual left. I want him to do it.
Maybe the Naderites, perhaps?
No, not the Naderites, just the brownies. Here we go. This is the presidential palm pile. My boy Dave got it for me.
Mm.
Ramon's out.
Ramon's out sick?
Yeah, he's out.
Uh-oh.
8:30 a.m., wake up, stay on message. Gay marriage will unravel the fabric of Western civilization. Repeat as necessary. 10 a.m., fly to Tennessee. Note, work with dialect coach. Must out Southern Edwards. Yeah. 11 a.m., arrive Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Listen patiently while local boys sing Elvira. 11:10 a.m., make remarks at Oak Ridge National Library. See if you can avoid the word nuclear, nucaller, nuclear. Damn, who scheduled this? 11:25 a.m., tour Oak Ridge facility. When the snotty eggheads start talking about science, fix smile and go to Happy Place. He does that. 12:30 p.m., fly back to Washington for in-flight movie, try to get director's cut of Dodgeball. Ha ha! Dorks get it in the nuts! 2:45, meet with the president of El Salvador. Find out what they make and promise to buy more of it. 9 p.m. bedtime. Think a happy thought. New York Post headline. Kerry and Jamada Quiddick DUI debacle. I was watching the show on the Kennedys last night. Did you see that?
No.
On CNN, one of those profiles of an American dynasty kind of deal.
No. I watched 60 Minutes last night. I saw the Kerrys and the Edwardses.
How was that?
You want to talk about Leslie Stahl, or should we talk about the actual people that are being No, I'm only kidding. Jonathan, our producer, said I should not get into my opinions.
Well, how did Kerry come off? How did Kerry come off?
They, you know what? They came off as two guys who were very comfortable with each other, who were kind of like goofing at a certain point.
Uh-huh. That's what you want from presidential candidates.
Yeah, and almost at a point competing with each other to figure out who's going to answer a question with a compliment first of the other guy first.
Aww.
I mean, it was
it's a honeymoon. We got to let him have it.
Yeah.
We got to let him have the honeymoon.
Well, you know, there were people that were upset and said the honeymoon was over after that fundraiser they had here last Thursday. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah, we're not going to cover it today. What are we going to cover?
Well, I mean, we probably should. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, has demanded a tape of this fundraiser because they say that the people called the president a thug and a cheap liar and a few other things.
And is there a problem?
Less than complimentary. I'm upset I wasn't invited to the fundraiser. I could have come up with stuff just as good as that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the real issue now is whether or not the government can shut itself down in terms of elections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never happened before.
Not during
two
the Civil
World
Wars.
Yep.
Never. Never was there not an election, no matter how bad it got. Yet all of a sudden, it's like, we might need to stop the election if there's a terrorist attack. Think about how big that terrorist attack would be. And if they are really saying that something that big could happen in this country to where it would affect a national election for president, then these guys really are not rising to the task of their job.
They're looking
Please.
At a proposal that would allow a postponement of the November election in the event of a terror attack. The chair of the newly created U.S. Election Assistance Commission, DeForest Soares, who will be our guest on this air tomorrow.
And you guys go back to the day.
We go back in the day. That's right. Go back to the day.
Yeah.
He wants his office to have that power. He has asked Tom Ridge, the Homeland Security chief, to lobby the Bush administration to give him the power, because right now there is no single federal official, no single federal entity that can stop or postpone a national election. You can do it on a statewide level. It was done in 2001 on September 11th. But nationally, nobody.
I think that one of the bloggers had the best idea. Why don't we have the elections early? Let's just do it next week.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, that at some poll has Kerry and Edwards at, like, you know, like 6 or 7 points above.
Have you ever asked yourself why they do elections on Tuesday in this country and not on the weekend like they do in the rest of the civilized democratic world?
Hold on. Let me do it. Mark, why do they have elections on Tuesday?
Because they're, oh, no, I forgot. Chris would get upset. Because they're a bunch of, no. No, I mean, it to me, it makes no sense. In a lot of democracies, particularly emerging democracies, they have the elections over the weekend so that people, you know, don't have to rush
home.
For
like 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Why not? It gives everybody the opportunity to get to the polls.
Yeah.
And in many of these democracies, by the way, 75 to 80% of the eligible electorate actually turns out. Now,
could you imagine that? Could you imagine if more than a third of the people in this country voted? Could you imagine that, you know, despite all these fears about, you know, voter rigging and everything else and you know, bad counts and all that stuff, could you imagine if it became an undeniable momentum, the number of people that voted, and there was a landslide victory for the Democrats? Wouldn't that be just, wouldn't you feel so great?
Well, see, this is what we're starting to see, and it ties into something we were discussing earlier. You see that the elections officials in Florida were real quick to use a felon list in 2000.
Yeah.
You'll notice now in 2004, it's like, okay, well, we're going to use this list, we're going to use this list. Whoops, we're not going to use this list.
They got called on their crap.
They
right?
got called on it, and they're starting to realize, now people are paying attention. If they started disenfranchising people before, the way they did in 2000, there would be an uproar the likes of which you would be hearing for another 4 years.
Yeah, and if you want to get involved with the Diebold machine situation, you can go to blackboxvoting.org and get active in, you know, fighting state legislators and maybe causing some change to get rid of these machines with no paper trail, to insist on a paper trail so these guys can't rig it. I mean, voting rigging has been going on for years, and it always goes on, you know, and whether or not they can prove it or not, it has been around for a long time.
There are a lot of different ways that you can rig an election. There are different ways of doing it all over the world.
One of them is called the Electoral College.
The Electoral College, or, you know, putting soldiers at the polls. In New York City in the past, they've had cops working.
Or perhaps
who are you?
Exactly. Perhaps having a very focused terrorist threat that only applies to swing states and is going to be focused on just, you know, undecided voters and Democrats. You might want to stay home. There's a high alert for Democrats on that Tuesday. High alert in all swing states.
All swing states. Stay home. And those of you who are unaffiliated who are thinking about voting Democrat,
high alert for
home.
You. High alert. They somehow or another, these terrorists are clever. They're dodgy. They can tell who you're going to vote for. I think that these, you know, sometimes I listen to these guys and I just by the fact that they're using terrorist tactics to frighten people out of going to the polls means that the Republicans are aligned with the terrorists.
Well, I don't know about that, but they're getting awful desperate, I'll say that. And we see this, Mark, over and over again. We see there's a thread that runs from the postponement issue to the gay marriage issue to the CIA report. These are people who are desperate to remain in power, to continue to extend what I consider to be a warped and twisted vision for the future of this country, and if people are not prepared to stand up and say, no, you don't, we're going to be in some, and our kids and grandkids are going to be some really deep, deep.
I can't, yeah, I know what you're saying. Deep poop.
Yeah,
poop up to the knees.
Absolutely.
When I see these guys, when I see Republicans and Democrats, actually, just politicians in general on TV, you know, trying to answer questions without, you know, putting themselves in any sort of situation where anybody might judge them in a way that might lose them some support in their, you know, it's almost like some sort of strange syndrome, like, you know, political pathological lying syndrome. I don't know if there's actually a clinical diagnosis, but these guys are genius at it. I mean, just the way that, like, Rockefeller and Roberts. Now, Rockefeller, you know, he went after this administration a little bit. He didn't do it quite, you know, right straight on. But, you know, with this whole CIA, with the whole intelligence investigation, the Senate Investigation Committee or whatever it's called.
Senate Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know what I'm saying. So, but, you know, they are not, they're allowing this president to blame the CIA for everything if he wants to. And
because
it just can't happen.
They were scared. They did not want to put out the second part of their report, which many people believe would have targeted the White House.
I'm psyched we're going to talk to Bob Baer.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, he's a guy we can really ask about this stuff. You know what I mean? He's a former CIA officer. He wrote that book, Sleeping with the Devil. He knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to come up, and we're going to have him on the phone in a few minutes. There's just so many things that, you know, just baffle me about this in terms of the real – obviously the intelligence was bungled, but there's a tremendous indication that, you know, this administration bullied the intelligence, you know, the FBI and the CIA to get the information they wanted to make this attack that has been being planned since 1988 by these guys, 1998 by these guys.
And these are, you know, the CIA is supposedly a group of professionals. When you question people's professionalism, particularly in any kind of a corporate or government culture, there has to be a reaction to that. And I think the reaction has been to really kind of pull in and get to a point where, you know, these folks are really afraid in many instances of coming forward with anything controversial, anything.
We're going to ask Bob about it. Well, we'll be back, you know, after.
Oh, that's right. Coming up, Recovery Corner and more here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer, sitting in for Wayne Gilman. France and Iraq together again. Diplomatic ties between those two countries were severed during the Gulf War 13 years ago. They've been restored. An anti-war group is filing suit against Clear Channel Communications, the radio and billboard giant company. Organization called Project Billboard from Berkeley claims that when its anti-war artwork was submitted, the company reneged on its agreement to lease a billboard in Times Square during the Republican National Convention. Today in the Senate, debate resumes on that proposed constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage. The measure is not expected to pass. The head of the NAACP is calling for its members to vote President Bush out of office. Julian Bond, speaking at the group's convention in Philadelphia last night, said the administration preaches racial neutrality and practices racial division. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. Well, who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Do your part to help the economy of Air America Radio. Log on to airamericaradio.com for t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, tote bags, and more. Just click on our Get the Gear banner and spend, spend, spend!
Do you have an Air America Radio dog shirt?
Yes, we do have a dog shirt, but be careful how you say dog shirt. The FCC is listening.
Air America dog shirts. I really stepped in it now.
Air America radio gear. Wear the air.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ripa. You probably know me best as a TV host and actress, but you may not know that my sister was seriously injured in a drunk driving crash. She is one of about 500,000 people who are injured every year because of someone's careless choice to drink and drive. If you've survived a crash, or if you have a loved one who's been injured or killed due to drunk driving, please call MAD. They're here to help, and they're just a phone call away. Call 1-800-GET-MAD or visit mad.org.
So what else is new?
Leonard Nimoy, author, photographer, philanthropist, and director.
The Vulcan salute, the split-fingered salute. First time I experienced it, I must have been about 8 years old, in the men's section of the Orthodox Shul.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
And I was told not to look. And these gentlemen had their hands outstretched. And I snuck a peek because I was fascinated to see what it was that we're not supposed to watch.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Call me a lot.
Marty Kaplan on Air America Radio.
Yes, Monday morning. Little Guns and Roses. What a great record this was. Why is it too bad he's so out of his mind? They could have had such a great career. On the phone, joining us by phone from Silverton, Colorado, is former CIA officer Robert Barra. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
How are
you?
He also wrote Sleeping with the Devil. I have the book at home. I'm just getting started with it. It looks exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Tenet's out. And now this leaves an opportunity for Bush and company to blame the CIA for everything. But they bullied these guys, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the intelligence that I've seen in this national intelligence estimate from October 2002 was trash that we'd rejected a long time ago. Somebody put pressure on someone in the CIA to include that in that estimate, especially the public one, in order to convince the public.
Right. And now the Senate, yeah, after this, the intelligence... the Senate Intelligence Committee thing paper said that, you know, all these guys aren't willing to really take them to task on that, and it really annoys me. Doesn't it bother you?
Well, it really bothers me because, the CIA shouldn't take the fall. We all know about the Office of Special Plans and the Pentagon. We know about these leaks to the press, these official leaks, in order to garner public support.
Yeah.
It's a much wider problem than that, talking the American people into this war. And blaming the CIA, I don't think it's going to work by November.
So what do you now? So now they've got a temporary guy in there, and Bush is like, it seems to me that that'll make the country a little more vulnerable, and that's an intelligence oversight. What do you think he's going to put someone in there quickly, or what do you think he should do here?
Unfortunately, it doesn't matter because the place is so broken. It's so
wow.
Politicized.
Wow.
We're talking 20 years to get this place. You got to basically fire everyone there.
Oh, my God. So how do you fix it? By firing everybody and starting from scratch?
You almost have to do that. Start a new intelligence service. You've got to find somebody that's going to go in there and speak truth to power.
Okay, so Well, that's a good issue you bring up then. Why would, you know, what was Tenet's agenda? Why would he say slam dunk? Was he just kissing Bush's ass to give him the information he wanted so he could do what he wanted to do?
Oh, no. Tenet had no power base of his own. He was always been a staffer on the Hill. The National Security Council was in those positions to please and continued that through 7 years at the CIA.
Huh.
Incredible. Our guest is former CIA officer Robert Barra. He's author of the book Sleeping with the Devil. Robert Barra, there seems to be some question about many of these national intelligence estimates that were prepared before the war in Iraq. And I'm curious, what would you as a CIA officer, how would you look at, for example, representatives of the Pentagon coming to Langley and telling you essentially or questioning your judgment in terms of the intelligence regarding bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, having someone like Dick Cheney come to Langley and saying essentially the same thing, that you're not coming up with the proper intelligence?
Well, it was transparent what they were doing. They went on record in 1996 that they wanted to occupy Iraq. This is an old agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing what's called data mining, just going out and finding anything they could that would justify a war, and rewriting this as intelligence. Intelligence truly is a profession, and should be, and they've completely undermined it.
Really? And Cheney should have known better.
Cheney knew better. Cheney knows the government the way it works. He knew the problems with the CIA. He knew that the information on Iraq was weak to none.
So they were manipulating
on purpose. They weren't deceived.
Right. So they knew they were just taking the American people for a ride. They scared the hell out of us and told us what they wanted us to think. And enough people believed it that they feel vindicated in doing it. And now Cheney is still out there saying it.
No doubt in my mind. I used to head Iraqi collection. I knew the weaknesses. I'm not speaking secondhand to this.
Right. Now in Iraq, now it seems that they've completely blown it.
Absolutely. This war is unwinnable. Even people in the Pentagon are saying it today. It is unwinnable militarily and probably politically as long as we're there.
Oh, my God.
Now, they're saying that they're not getting a great deal of usable intelligence over there. Again, as a former CIA officer, how do you fix that? How do you, assuming that it's maybe not even the CIA that's charged with getting the intelligence, short of another Abu Ghraib, how do they get better intelligence on the ground over there?
They probably won't. What they're doing now is they're still randomly arresting people in Ramadi and in Anbar province and getting them to sign loyalty oaths. If they refuse, they put them in jail. They go back in Abu Ghraib. Things haven't changed.
We're talking to Robert Baer, former CIA officer. So it's just very interesting now that what do you know about how Israel intelligence is now? I just read an article that they're linking up with the Kurds and that they're actually afraid that the Americans have completely botched up the entire region.
Oh, they are. The Israelis are mad now. They weren't exactly enthusiastic about this war going in there because it's going to create chaos.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're really facing. We can't get out without chaos moving south, migrating south into the rest of the Gulf, where most of the world's oil sits. And if we stay, we're going to take continual losses forever.
Wow.
It costs $5-6 billion a month. I don't have a solution for Iraq.
Okay. Well, can we take some calls for you, Bob? Do you mind?
Sure.
All right, so why don't we do that? We'll say 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. We've got Robert Baer. He's an ex-CIA officer. If you got some questions, he'll take them after this break. Stay tuned on Air America.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and they include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Uh-huh.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Holy, it's Monday. That's Mark Riley over there.
Hey.
I'm Mark Maron, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And as always, I'm offering my counsel to my sponsee, George W., whether he likes it or not. George, the elections are coming, and I hear that you're planning to put them on hold if there's a terrorist attack. What is it that you fear the most? The elections, right? I understand that. Bad family history. Your dad was a pathetic one-termer who lost after winning a war in Iraq. Now your campaign is sputtering like a lawn boy in the tall grass. The Democrats seem to have their thing together for a change. You're in a scary place, my friend. I understand. But the elections are going to happen. Sooner or later, terrorist attack or no terrorist attack, some things are beyond your control. Hard to admit, isn't it? Hard to admit that your will get you nowhere. You're just going to have to accept the results, unlike the last time, which just gave you the wrong idea completely. You came to the problem with a girl called responsibility, and now you're going to have to dance with her. Remember, bend your knees before you bend your elbows. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. You received without cost. Now give without charge. Get to a meeting. For God's sakes, get to a meeting. Don't drink. 866-303-2270. We've got Robert Baer on the phone. He's a former CIA officer. His book, Sleeping with the Devil, can be bought at AirAmericaRadio.com at a significant discount. We've got Carl in Ohio streaming. How are you, Carl?
Hey, Carl.
My question is basically, by the way, hi, you guys.
Hi.
My question is basically that it has not been all that long since the CIA was the one that was considered the enemy. They had the shadowy networks. They were the ones who were, like, going behind everybody's back, collecting intelligence in an unethical manner. And now it seems they've been outclassed at their own game. They've been, quote-unquote, stovepiped. And now, you know, I mean, it's got to the point that me personally, and I'm very skeptical, I believe that they are victims here. And I'd just like to ask Mr. Baer, what happened? How did it come to this?
Okay, Robert.
Hey, Carl, how times have changed. That's when I joined, when it was sort of an evil organization.
Is that why you joined? You're like, this is perfect.
No, I was out in Berkeley going to school. I said, I had to see what this place looked like from the inside. It took a couple of months. I made that write an article about it. And I actually stayed. But what I watched was the decline where it has no intelligence on the most important countries.
Uh-huh.
Iran, North Korea, Iraq. It became politically correct in a Washington sense, was afraid of the White House. People were afraid to go down to the White House, afraid to tell the truth, totally politicized. And that's why this White House used the CIA to justify a war. It knew it could get away with it.
How did that start, though, that culture of victimness of the CIA?
The CIA wanted to be accepted in Washington. It didn't want to be a rogue organization. It wanted to go to conference tables, you know, and sit next to
State Department.
It didn't
want to be the creepy,
of Agriculture. Yeah, exactly.
The creepy kid.
We didn't want to be the creepy kids.
Yeah. All right, let's see. What's up, Mark?
Let me ask a very quick question before we go back to the phones. Bob Baer, why do so many people seem to have a problem with the possibility of Porter Goss, who is the Republican congressman, I believe, well, I'm not sure exactly. I think he's from Florida. They're talking about his possibly becoming CIA director. We spoke to Larry Johnson a bit earlier, who's a former CIA caseworker. He said that is a worst-case scenario. What's wrong with Porter Goss?
He's part of the system. He oversaw a broken system and let it continue for many years.
Oh, maybe intentionally?
I don't know, intentionally, they're afraid. People in Congress are afraid of the White House as well. And they were afraid. He was afraid to go up against the party, afraid to go up against George Tenet. And he oversaw a lot of these abuses and knew about them and said nothing. I know Porter Goss. I like, he's a fine fellow. But you don't need somebody part of the system.
Well, that's a damning. That's damning somebody with faint praise. He's a fine fellow.
God, you're ruining all my conspiracy visions. You know, I thought the CIA was just, you know, these clandestine geniuses who were secretly running the planet, but now it just turns out they're kind of not. Hey, Mike. What?
You know, soccer moms and, you know, people want to get home at 5:05 and
oh, you're ruining my whole vision.
Sorry.
It's all right, buddy. Mike in South Carolina. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing this
good.
Morning?
All right,
good,
how you
good.
Doing?
All right. Hey, by the way, this Edwards pick has turned the Carolinas into swing states, and the Bush campaign's already dumping a lot of money into advertising here. So,
beautiful, beautiful.
So,
very exciting.
We're going to make them spend some money. But, hey, my question is this. Do you think when he gets blamed for all this, Tenet's going to fight back?
Thanks, Mike. Robert,
interesting question.
Robert Baer's on the phone going to answer that question. He's the former CIA officer.
That's the big question. If Tenet could fight back and Tenet could bring down this White House, and I think what he's waiting for is to see what the Bush White House does against him.
So you're saying that there is a chance that he could come out swinging?
There is a chance, if he gets mad enough.
Oh, well.
I wouldn't want to take him on personally.
Yeah?
Then he's got a ghostwriter lined up already.
He could get a book out by October if he wanted to.
Oh, definitely. We got Bill in Peekskill. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hi, fine. I used to be with the company, as we used to call it.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Back in the 50s, by way of the Army. Nothing to do with this. I guess I'm trying to impress you guys. The main thing is...
You succeeded.
We were so much with security. I'm talking about Valerie Plame. Let's go on to that, because who was an agent that was outed by these clowns. And that's why also putting pressure on the CIA and threatening them. Also, if you recall, this is something that's swept under that hasn't been discussed by me. Saddam actually just before indirectly approached the administration, hey guys, we'll do anything, just don't come in. And I think it was Wolfowitz, this was about maybe months ago that this came out. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they don't give him more play. The other thing, but Wolfowitz said, well, the CIA told us not to take it seriously. So they used the CIA as an excuse there. The last thing I have here is the main reason for Iraq. I think more than one reason, no question, probably even some good ones, but the main one, political. A year ago, the economy was even worse than it is now. They wanted to have something to their strength. They felt there was an army of patsies would cave right over. They weren't thinking. They ignored the guerrilla warfare factor. And they were right in the way. You know, I hate to say it. I was in the army, and every one of these 800 mothers...
All right.
But, you know, they were right. It hasn't been terrible casualty on the battlefield.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Bill. I couldn't – there wasn't a question in there. But Bob, I guess he was just reaffirming what you were saying.
Well, I mean, right until the end, Saddam was trying to surrender. He even went to CBS News and offered them all the bin Laden people in jail in his prisons.
Huh.
Yeah.
And the response, from the White House, we'll send them by mail, whatever that means.
Yeah, right. 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. We got Robert Baer on the phone, former CIA officer.
Bob, I got one quick question before we go back to the phones. Should Bush name a director of Central Intelligence before the election?
No, it would be a pure political act at this point. There's not much you can do. You know, they need somebody like Norman Schwarzkopf in there, who's not afraid of anybody, who's seen it all, and put him in there for 5 years and say, go fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Robert. It's great talking to you, as
Thank
always.
Thank you.
Take care.
The book is Sleeping with the Devil. You can get that on airamericaradio.com. We didn't get to Skeeter in Vermont. Leave him on the line. We'll talk to him when we come back in a minute. This is Air America Radio.
Recent medical studies have found that users of Zyprexa may be at a higher risk of diabetes. If you have taken Zyprexa and have diabetes or high blood sugar, you may have important legal rights. At the Levin Law Firm, we don't charge a fee or costs unless we make a recovery for you. If you believe that you've been injured by Zyprexa, call our office for a free consultation at 1-800-277-1193. That's 1-800-277-1193. The insurance companies have their lawyers. Let the Levin Law Firm be yours.
Are Americans better off than we were 4 years ago? In a new national poll conducted by Mother Jones Magazine, a strong majority of registered voters from across the country claim that the United States have gotten pretty seriously off on the wrong track. And half of those surveyed voted for George W. Bush in the 2000 presidential election. Take the poll yourself and view the complete results at MotherJones.com. Also at MotherJones.com, your daily mojo, the best of the independent web and exclusive reports, every day at MotherJones.com. Mother Jones, strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hey, you know, it's Monday. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Tradition. I'm with Mark Riley. I got this bad habit of saying Chappaquiddick instead of Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick.
I've been saying it since I was a kid, since I first learned about Chappaquiddick. For some reason, it was always Chappaquiddick. It's like nuclear. I don't know. I've always done it. Let's just see what Skeeter has to say real quick, because he's he's always calling us.
Call
hey,
us
Skeeter, what's going on in Vermont?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey.
You know, of all this talk about postponing the election in the event of another terrorist attack is a bunch of smoke and mirrors, because
yeah.
The truth of the matter is, the date of the presidential and congressional elections is fixed by the Constitution and cannot be changed.
Absolutely.
Article 2 of the Constitution says, quote, the date of the election for president and vice president, the senators and representatives shall be held on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November.
And that's that. So in order to make any sort of protocol that has any teeth, they'd actually have to amend the Constitution.
Yes, and they have nowhere near a two-thirds majority to pass it anymore, but they could pass that federal marriage amendment.
Tremendous.
Which I consider illegal, because it's a blatant attempt to impose into law an anti-gay religious doctrine, and that violates the separation of church and state.
I'm with you, Skeeter.
I couldn't have said it any better,
Skeeter. Thank you for calling, as always.
But you know what? We talked about arrogance before, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We talked about arrogance in connection with this administration. I think they're arrogant enough to believe they can actually get away
with both of these things.
Yes.
With amending the Constitution, with suspending the election. And this is like talking about an anti-democratic administration.
Yeah. Well, I guess that would mean they're pro-Republican. President Bush has leveled an attack at the NAACP, saying that his relationship with those in charge of the organization has deteriorated to the point where it scarcely exists. Now, you know, he declined an invitation to address the NAACP convention, which, by the way, is not solely composed of the leadership.
Four invitations.
Four consecutive invitations, the first time since Herbert Hoover. But see, here's the thing about George W. Bush that is astonishing. Here's a direct quote from his position on this. There are a lot of people I admire in the NAACP who support me, end quote.
Yeah.
So in other words, and this was, by the way, in an interview.
Who would that be?
With the Allentown Morning Call.
Does he have any names?
Huh?
Does he have any names?
I don't know who he's talking about. Yeah. But what he does say is that the current leadership is at odds with him. There were charges and countercharges that flew during the 2000 elections that the NAACP had actually gone out of its way to support Al Gore, which is not part of its mandate to endorse candidates for political office.
Uh-huh.
They do a lot of get-out-the-vote work. They do a lot of voter registration work. So, of course, when you're trying to register black folks, which 90% of them end up registering Democratic or voting Democratic,
uh-huh,
you end up being a Republican target. So now Bush is saying, well, here's the thing. The NAACP is not exactly going to be confused with the Black Panthers at any point.
Right, you know absolutely. What I mean?
This is a relatively moderate civil rights organization, and you can't forge a relationship with them?
I can't believe he's condescending to them. I just can't believe that. That's what it is. It's arrogance. It's condescension. It's sort of like, well, I don't need you anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, Kwaise Mfume, who's the president of the NAACP, is a former Democratic congressman from Maryland, so maybe that's part of it, too. But whatever it is, it should be, I believe, to most African Americans, unacceptable, no matter how you feel about the NAACP.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here we go. Get your notebooks and your pens. Here are your marching orders. One, suggest a new $10 bill with picture of Ron Reagan Jr. Two,
amen.
If your toast is the least bit too light or dark, blame Bush. Three, market novelty line of fake hair care products called Wolfowitz Spit. Four, go see Fahrenheit 9/11 yet again. Must beat King Arthur. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, here's my problem. Spider-Man doesn't address the root causes of crime. Unquote. Good morning. We'll see you tomorrow.
The day has flown by.
It has, man.
Good morning. It has been very enjoyable. I am very, very nervous. And actually, I'm nervous about the future of the country for the first time in a long time. But tomorrow, yes, we're going to talk to DeForest Soares, former Secretary of State in the state of New Jersey, congressional candidate, and now he heads the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. Also coming up, could Bush use terrorism as an excuse to delay those elections? There's no guidelines, so we'll find out. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio.